Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Hey, Jordan Harbinger here. Subscribe to the only show that will show you how to apply the world's greatest ideas from the most striking minds. After presenting more than 1,000 interviews, I couldn't be more compelled to introduce you to the Jordan Harbinger Show. We've got spies and CEOs, athletes and authors from Kobe Bryant to Malcolm Gladwell, Tony Hawk and Howie Mandel to the chairman of Google, founders of LinkedIn and Instagram, antiquities smugglers, con men, brilliant scientists, national heroes, and even the head of the CIA. Listed as Apple's best of 2018 and countless other awards that, let's be honest, you probably don't care about right now. So come and have a listen for yourself and join me as we exploit the superpowers of the world's most incredible thinkers, amazing achievers, and iconic change makers with their insights delivered right into your mind. You'll get that blueprint of their brilliance each week so that you can learn to live what you listen. Subscribe right now to The Jordan Harbinger Show, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you're listening now.
Napa Know-How.
At Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care centers, get a $25 prepaid Visa card when you get any Napa Automotive battery. It's the best deal for some of the best batteries from some of the best car people around. But we might be a little partial. Anywho, pick up any Napa Automotive battery and save $25. Do it yourself or have it done for you. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care centers, while supplies last, offer ends 8/31/20.
Hey guys, it's Cody here. Before we get started, do you love DC movies, shows, and comic books? Well, we have good news for you. DC Universe, the ultimate DC membership, is offering a special 14-day free trial to our listeners. Read over 20,000 digital comics, catch up on original series like Titans, and starting November 29th, watch their newest adult animated series, Harley Quinn. Visit www.dcuniverse.com/podcast1 and use the promo code Collider. That's www.dcuniverse.com/podcast1 and use the promo code Collider to start your 14-day free trial. This code is valid through December 31st, 2019. Collider Live is sponsored by Warner Brothers Digital Networks, the operator of DC Universe. DC Universe is only available in the United States.
Napa Know-How.
At Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care centers, get a $25 prepaid Visa card when you get any Napa Automotive battery. It's the best deal for some of the best batteries from some of the best car people around. But we might be a little partial. Anywho, pick up any Napa Automotive battery and save $25. Do it yourself or have it done for you. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care centers, while supplies last, offer ends 8/31/20.
Stelio Chico Pitbull, Mr. 305, better said Mr. Worldwide, and I'm here to tell you about my new podcast, From Negative to Positive, brought to you by my friends over at State Farm. I believe that to have success, you got to play the game so that the game doesn't play you. You know, the biggest risk you take is not taking one. It's very important that you make sure that you make the most out of your money, especially when it comes to insurance. State Farm offers surprisingly great rates. They have great agents standing by helping you personalize your coverage. All this is backed up by award-winning, easy-to-use technology. It's a great price with an even greater service. When you want the real deal, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Welcome back to Collider Live, the best show on the damn YouTubes, and we are especially vagina live today. I'm Roxy Stryer. Alongside the most evil Dorina.
Vagina Live.
Vagina
Live. We also really, really accept and enjoy dicks, though. Dicks are allowed as well.
Hey.
Speaking of dicks, Mark Riley.
I feel awkward.
Yeah.
It's awkward right now. But I'm going to lean into it. Yes, dicks and vaginas. Can't wait to be on the show. Hi.
Well, the person we can't wait to have on the show, you guys already know her, from Geek Bomb, it's Maude Garrett.
Yay! Come on.
Thanks for having me, guys.
What is this? Is that you wait?
But you said dicks and vagina, you were missing something.
Oh, boobies. Oh.
I thought you were doing like a T-Rex jazz hand.
I have no idea what happened and I panicked and that was my explanation.
I did the other day. Somebody waved at me and I waved back and I honka-honka'd.
Oh.
I did a little squeezing of the air action.
Sometimes if you put it on the spot like that.
Well, there's also this.
But I didn't do that. That would have been funnier. This was like unintentional grab the... Right.
non-existent breasts?
When we had Hector Navarro and Koji Andrew, they were pretty good at this, though.
Yeah.
I love that.
Ooh, this
what's
feels
that?
Like
I don't just you know what it is.
I do. Balls. I know exactly what it is. You know who else knows what it is? Cody Hall.
Hey!
How are your discomfort levels right now, Cody? On a scale of 1 to fashaja.
Fair question.
Solid 6.
Ooh, a solid 6. I bet if you're at a 6, then definitely at least an 8. Alex Marzonia.
What's up?
How cute was Alex before the show? In the booth. Hi, Maud. I'm Alex.
It was really cute.
It was great.
It was really sweet. I won't lie.
And you don't know what he looks like now. You're like, who's this mystery Alex?
And you're like, how much do you love Alex? I was like, well, I've known him for 4 seconds. By voice only.
I wasn't asking you. I was asking them, but they didn't respond, which was really awkward.
I responded.
Awkward
I said
episode.
It, no. It's already started. Very awkward. So good.
So
good
Maud, thank you for being here. How have you been? I wear all your clothes.
Are you getting so you're so sweet with that as well. Every time I see it, and then people like are tagging me in it now as well, and I have like proud mother vibes.
I won't lie to you. The amount of times when we knew that you were coming on the show, Dorina texted being like, "I love her clothes. I wear her clothes." Like, it was a whole thread.
Yeah, because I'm not into fashion at all. Clearly, like I'm terrible at fashion.
Is that Cheddar Goblin?
Oh yeah. So this is an obscure movie. Nicolas Cage in Mandy, directed by Panos Cosmatos, one of my favorite movies of the decade.
I heard it was unbelievable.
It's fucking
unbelievable. I never went and saw it.
We should watch it together. I have it. We can do a whole screening
thing. I heard
it's
batshit crazy.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's one of the visually crazy movies. Like, you definitely take a little something before you watch it.
Why do you think it didn't do as well?
Because it's great.
But also,
it was distributed in a different way.
Yeah, it was Legion M, right?
Exactly.
So it's a fan-funded investment company.
Yeah, which is really interesting. Yeah. But they've done a couple of movies, and it's basically you literally, as a fan, can own stock in this company.
Yeah.
And then they distribute movies. And
that's what Legion M does?
Yeah. Yeah, isn't that awesome?
Colossus? I get their emails.
There you go. So now you can be a stock owner.
What's Colossus?
The one with Anne Hathaway, where she was the
monster.
God, I love
Colossus.
Great movie.
Colossal.
I'm not sure.
Colossal.
Would you bet your life on it?
Yes, because Cody checked in with me and said that it's colossal, so I trust Cody more than me. So there it is.
Wait, I heard that one was really good, too.
That's a fantastic one.
Here's the issue. I go and see 2 or 3 movies a week. I am always going to the movies.
Right.
How am I missing all of this?
Because these movies, and also these movies aren't distributed by, you know, like the screenings you go to our studios invite you, right?
No, but I go to A24 and.
Lots of sound bites.
Yeah.
I'm sure you'll get one sooner or later.
Cody's been on fire.
The manager.
What was that one?
Ready to party.
Oh, that's a good Kristen Wiig.
We don't use that one here, but I will say it's my number one on Twitter. I use that all
my God.
The time.
If I ever want to cry laughing, I'll watch Bridesmaids again.
Well, Collider just released a list of best comedies of the decade. Did you guys see it?
I haven't looked into it. Haven't dug in yet.
Yeah, would you consider Bridesmaids to be in there?
100%. But here's the biggest problem with the movie. I go around since it came out saying I'm really doing it, shitting in the street. Like, literally every day.
Oh,
I
mine is
that.
It's coming out like hot lava.
Oh, so good.
It's coming out like lava.
That's it, lava.
But I say it all the time. Randomly walking, I'll be like, really doing it, shitting in the street. And people are like, I do not understand.
You seem like a very deranged woman.
And nobody knows the quotes from the movie. That's my problem. The movie is so much better than it's remembered as.
Right.
Highly quotable.
What's the last comedy that you can quote? Is it that one? Because I feel like have you guys seen really good comedies recently? Like, what's the last really good comedy that you remember?
Booksmart.
I was going to say, but
that one's
I don't
great.
Know if I would even call that a straight comedy though.
Yeah, it has really great
coming of
that's
age.
That's more coming of age, like John Hughes style.
Cody, comedies? Anyone?
Nope.
Nope.
Can't
I know
contribute.
The movies, like, when you think of...
Can't help you here, Rockies. I'm very sorry.
The traditional ones, like, you know, Step Brothers was so great, but they've tried to redo...
You have to call me Nighthawk.
Oh, my God, guys. Holmes and Watson was one of the... Watson and Holmes?
Yeah.
You loved it so much?
If I could have walked out of that screening, I would have.
Yeah, oh, that's no. what I've heard.
It's probably one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
That's what I understand.
That trailer was great.
No, it wasn't. Off. When I saw that, we talked about it on this show. When I saw that trailer, I was like, I'm not seeing this movie. There is no chance that this movie's good. No. This trailer is the worst trailer I've ever seen.
And you were right.
Everybody else in this room sat there and said, that trailer's amazing. And I was like, what are you guys watching right now?
How does that even happen when you have a cast like that and crew? It's just bizarre to me.
I feel like they've done such successful movies in the past that they just no longer really have to try. They're like, that'll do. People will love it. And you know what? If you are watching this and you do love it, that's, you know, maybe this movie is made for you. It's just not made for me.
And you can write, but you can start a hashtag that says boycott mod.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's what happens on the internet.
A mod is so grateful
for that
hashtag.
Oh, I had an opinion. Oh, I should have learned my lesson. I just had an opinion.
How
push
dare
it down.
You.
Oh, push
God.
It down. Get rid of
everything's amazing, guys. I'm just happy to be here.
Wow.
Movies, am I right?
So you want to talk like Star Wars?
Bad. So bad.
Yeah.
Desperately
I'm so
not.
Glad you're here. That was great.
We do have a ton of stuff to talk about today, though, including a whole slew of DC stuff that dropped this morning.
My God, yeah.
I haven't gotten through it yet. You guys will have to educate
Yeah, we'll tell you everything that it is. But I am curious from you, Dorina, before we move on to that, what were the top five comedies that Collider set? Do you know?
Yes. So I have them right here. The lovely writer Adam Chitwood. And our
He's
staff.
Great.
A lot of lists.
He's pretty awesome. A lot of lists.
Yeah.
A lot of a decade lists is what they've been working on.
So these are best comedies of this decade.
Correct.
Because we're almost done.
The 20. So, what'd you say, Mom?
Because it's 2019.
Yeah, it's the end of an era.
It is.
So 20 best comedies. There we go. Ooh, Easy A's 19. I love that movie.
That was a really good movie.
Wasn't it?
Wow.
Okay, so here we go.
Deadpool.
Top five. Number five is Paddington 2.
What? What? As a comedy?
Which I would put more as a family movie, but I do love that movie.
The number five comedy of the
decade
is
that's
kind of
weird.
Paddington 2?
I understand that there's like, you know, people that would die for that bear.
Yeah, I mean.
But that's not funny.
No.
If you want to die for a fictional character.
Agreed.
No, it's really sad,
it's
actually. Check yourself
cheap
in.
Character.
So. Okay, what's number four? I'm confused.
The Grand Budapest Hotel, which is my favorite Wes Anderson movie.
Oh, okay, but they're going weird with comedies.
Number three is Bridesmaids.
Hey!
Hey, all right.
That's a comedy.
I concur. It's an excellent comedy. What year was that movie?
That was 2011.
Game night.
We are old.
Beginning of the decade.
Number two is Pop Star, Never Stop, Never Stopping, which is also very good.
Wow.
That is a comedy.
Good
yes.
call.
An underrated comedy at that. I am surprised. Everybody in this room has seen it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I'm kind of surprised by that. Usually in conversations, I find that most people
Word
have not seen it.
Word of mouth was the best asset for that video, that movie. Because I feel like a couple of people got to see it, and then it was like available. It's easy to watch, and it's like, hey, if you need a movie, watch that. It's really funny.
Yeah,
guaranteed good time.
I agree. What's the next one, D?
Number one is MacGruber, which I love.
Is
so
it really?
Wait, really?
I love MacGruber. Yes, I'm not. I'm
what?
Being totally serious.
That movie's amazing.
MacGruber 2009.
That's fantastic.
I love that movie.
Is it Ben that wrote that list? Ben Chitwood, I believe you
Adam
said?
Chitwood. Adam
Chitwood. Adam Chitwood.
Yes. Adam.
I thought you were making a joke because Ben Bateman and Andrew Guy think it's the funniest movie of the decade as well.
It's
They're
so funny.
With it.
It's up there.
It is not bad. It's funny. It's totally funny enough. But, like, the number one comedy of the decade, we did something wrong this decade.
I don't know, man.
Maybe that's why everyone's sad.
I like it a lot. I mean, cool. I would have probably put What We Do in the Shadows higher. On this list, it's number eight. Because that's my favorite movie, a comedy of the decade. I love What We Do in the Shadows.
Wait, I haven't seen that, but I thought it was a horror movie?
No, it's a mockumentary by Taika Waititi.
I mean, horror elements, you know, they're vampires
that was a
going
very
through life.
Funny. And then the werewolves come in. The not werewolves, we're werewolves. Okay,
yes,
it's really well done. But
highly recommend.
I gotta say, it was very funny when you just said it. It was funny in the movie, though.
Why don't you just burn me next time?
Well, it's
light
like,
me on fire.
I was just trying to be the
Damn
internet
opinions.
In person
Thank
for
you.
A moment. Yeah,
just so you
get
prepared when you get out of here and you open your comments.
Yay! Be nice.
We're always so lovely to our guests that come in here. All right, guys, let's get right into this because DC, like I said. Dropped a ton of stuff today. Who says ton like that?
Ton of stuff.
This was a Variety article, right?
Variety, yeah.
All right, so we have Superman news, we have Flash news, we have Green Lantern news, Batman news, all of the news. Mark, where do you want to start?
Well, I want to start with Superman, of course.
That's a shocker.
Surprise.
Yeah, soccer. Superman fan? Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
Kind of feel the same way.
We have a great crew
Superman
here to talk about
Superman is the vanilla character of DC, right?
Oh, snap.
Well, Michael B. Jordan. Yeah, good.
is good. Well, this makes it a little less vanilla, actually, though.
A little less vanilla if Michael B. Jordan has a vision for Superman and has pitched it to Warner Brothers. But as they say in the article, his dance card is full. So he has a full schedule coming up, so they don't know when they could get to this idea. Meanwhile, J.J. Abrams has also taken meetings about Superman.
No, Michael B., please. That excites me.
It's interesting because I've thrown that out there that I think he could be a great Superman.
I agree. There's
so many things about this. Number one, the article said that Michael B. Jordan had his meeting with Warner Brothers at the beginning of this year. So you'd have to think that that's sometime before April, which is right when the rumors were coming out that Michael B. Jordan was going to be the next Superman. I don't understand how people, whether it leaks or how people sense these things.
Right.
That's crazy. Number two, I'm already seeing some hate for this on the internet. So just reminder to everybody that Superman is not of this world.
An alien.
He's an alien. So guess what? He could be any color under the sun. He could look like whatever he wants.
And we've had 75, 80, 82, I'm doing the math here, years of this Superman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a lot of years.
It's a lot.
Let's flex a little. You know?
Agreed. And who do I want to see flex more than Michael B. Jordan? Nobody.
Yeah.
I have no comment on this situation. I've got enough abuse for flirting with Michael B. Jordan in my Black Panther interviews.
Did that happen?
To be fair, I was just talking about the fact that he had holes in his shirt, and I reminded him that I was looking at his eyes.
Wait, what happened?
Let's dig in here.
I just flirted with Michael B. Jordan a little bit.
As
I
one
am
does.
A human being.
Why wouldn't you, though?
Why wouldn't I?
Who are you people at home who would not flirt with Michael B.
Given
Jordan?
Given the chance, if you were able to have a sentence, would you include a wink with it at the end? Yes.
My answer is yes. Agreed. It's a clear yes.
Mm-hmm. I think I would, too.
Did he wink back,
I mean,
though?
Cody, come on. What are you doing to me?
I mean, look at those abs, guys.
It's just...
I'm looking at his eyes.
Are those CG?
Oh, did you guys ever watch the, what was it, 76... Questions with Michael B. Jordan, whatever that thing where you go through somebody's houses.
Oh,
you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Videos.
It
might be Variety. I think it is. Oh my God, he also is just the most endearing human being.
He lives with his mom because he bought her a house.
It was so cute.
Exhibit A.
He's so cute in all the ways.
Look at how cute he is. Look at his abs. They're so cute.
Just adorable.
Could we please not objectify this man, if that's okay? Could we just not objectify?
But it's also
should
not
I leave the room?
Because,
I mean, I'm fine with that.
No, you
like it, though.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
It's not just because he's cute. That's totally what
Superman looks like. I'm just saying.
He can look like Superman.
He's a man, and that is super.
Those are some super abs.
Of steel.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And also, can we just say, I mean, he was fantastic in Black Panther, but we need to right the wrong of Fantastic Four.
We should.
Because he's a great actor. Like, he could do anything, especially Superman.
Okay, exactly. That's the real thing. Hot as hell, sure. But, right. Why wouldn't you want him playing Superman?
Because Henry Cavill's not done with him. Henry Cavill has stated that
this
he's not done.
This is where
he's
I wanted
still
to go.
Room for it, and that it's still his, you know, red and blues ready to go. And
Jared
love,
Leto has said he's not done with Joker.
We're done with him being Joker.
You're not wrong with that. Do you guys think there is a universe where we see Michael B. Jordan and Henry Cavill back-to-back years, same year, whatever it is, both as Superman on screen?
I mean, it's possible if they're from different types of movies, just like we got two Jokers in 2 years, right?
You know what else? If you're having a problem with this one, there is Spider-Man, Peter Parker, and there's Miles Morales, and everyone thinks that that's the coolest thing ever. Let's just apply that same logic.
Agreed.
Yeah,
I agree with
Mind
that
Mind you, Miles Morales is another character that, you know.
I'm all for having more than one really cool, hot Superman.
Well, DC Universe was the creator of the multiverse, you know? So if you're going to set the multiverse tone, and we've already said, I think it's canon because of Justice League. So multiverse it up.
Well, that's the question then. So J.J. Abrams in this article is also taking meetings for him.
About Superman specifically.
Henry Cavill wants to still play Superman. The Black Adam producer said it would be very cool if Henry Cavill appears as Superman in Black Adam. So where are we landing with all this then?
I don't know, because like you mentioned before, Michael B. Jordan's got a very full slate right now. Mm-hmm. So if Michael B. Jordan is to take on the Superman mantle, they were saying also in the article, not until at least after 2023.
Right.
Which is quite down the line. So that still gives Cavill time to be Superman. Mm-hmm. And then we could have some kind of multiverse, flashpoint, timeline, whatever, some kind of thing that makes it so Michael B. Jordan then is Superman. But I don't know if we're – I know Henry Cavill's not done with it. I just don't know if we're ever going to see him again. I just don't know.
I get kind of sad about it too because I still want my – like Mark, I just want my Man of Steel 2 still.
That's what I want. And based on his comments, they were so passionate. It just seems like a travesty that he's not going to get to play Superman again if this comes to fruition.
They should just give him that as his last movie of Superman, like Man of Steel 2, done. And then he doesn't, you know, he gets to play Superman again, and then we get a new Superman with Michael B. Jordan after that.
Let's talk JJ for a second.
Okay.
Is JJ the right pick to do a Man of Steel 2 or a Superman movie of some sort?
My immediate thought is Super 8. I feel like that's a really good example of what JJ can do with a sort of family-oriented, like, fantastical movies. Mm-hmm. I really love the whole first half of that movie. I think it's really good. It's probably my favorite thing JJ has done.
I'd agree with that, actually.
Right? Yeah.
Love Super 8.
My favorite thing is Alias.
Oh, true.
Sorry, just some of the best storytelling with the best female protag. But JJ love plays it. A very safe game. Mm-hmm. And I think we learned that big time with Star Wars. Mm-hmm. He's not so much a risk taker, and now he's really honed what his vision is. Would that help or hurt Superman?
Have you read Flyby, his script that he wrote back in around 2006 before we got Superman Returns? Mm-hmm. And he reinvented the Superman mythology. So it was a big swing. So, and I'll spoil it for people because I don't know if he will go there, but right. It's basically that Lex Luthor was Kryptonian. Krypton never blew up. There was a civil war happening. They shot Kal-El off into Earth to save him from the civil war. So Krypton still around. Lex Luthor was Kryptonian. For me, that's not the Superman mythology that I like because I identify with Superman because last of his kind. Mm. There's something kind of – you're talking about a vanilla character. They've never really gone into that. I think Man of Steel actually did. Mm-hmm. The best of it is going into this idea of being the last of his kind and powerful and what would the world do if he shows himself and all that kind of stuff.
So yeah, him dealing with that struggle of like, oh, I'm not from this earth. Should I help these people or not? Like,
right.
It's kind of crazy.
So to reinvent that, Mark, is weird.
I don't think he'd be able to do that because that was – right now we've got a Lex and it's Jesse Eisenberg and I don't think he fits into that vision.
But see, we're talking about all these different things. I don't think he's going to be Lex Luthor anymore. I think we're done with Jesse Eisenberg because
Henry Cavill
might be done as well. That's if Henry Cavill's done.
I'm saying if JJ is doing a Henry Cavill Man of Steel 2, you think Lex could be done?
Oh.
Yeah, Jesse would be done as Lex?
But no. You're right. No. If Henry Cavill is back, yes, I could see him being Lex Luthor still.
Isn't Jesse playing Lex Luthor's son technically though?
Who said that?
The movie. Like it's literally he's playing Alex Luthor or something. I forget what his name is. Alex, can you please look it up?
It's kind of hinted at that, but I don't know. I thought that was more of a rumor that he was.
That's what I want to know. Or maybe I just convinced myself because I didn't want him to be Lex Luthor. And so I'm like, that's his son. Brian Cranston can still come up and play Lex Luthor.
Oh, yes, please. Mm-hmm. I've been thinking a little bit about my comment saying he's vanilla. What the problem is with Superman is that he's not necessarily vanilla. He's overpowered. He is OP. <okay. laughs>
You know what you think.
Ooh, he's trying to save you.
No, but can you just go to the wiki, Alex?
Because he's so overpowered, the focus of Superman is always going to be his dilemma, how he uses his power.
Right.
Because he has so much power and his potential to save or destroy anything.
Yep.
And what that means is that you don't get as much of a chance to really connect with him.
And that's why
you mean
I think
don't connect with him when he decides to murder his own father by not saving him?
Oh, boy.
Yeah,
Roxy.
I mean, I killed my dad, so actually,
Roxy.
She.
And really quick, see, it says
my least favorite movie.
Alexander Joseph Luthor Jr. And then Alexander Luthor Sr. is supposed to be dead.
What we really
but
want
I think
more
he's
of?
Still Lex Luthor.
Deathstroke. Can I just get Deathstroke, please?
There was supposed to be one with the Rave director.
A standalone movie, yeah.
Yeah.
The script was done. It was all approved. And then Ben Affleck.
Then.
I love him. I love Batfleck. Rather,
I did too.
There's more stuff.
Were you not
in this
into Batfleck, Mud?
I think what he wanted and what he got, there was just a little bit too much of that. Mm-hmm. And then because it didn't particularly go
the way of the Vision, he just stepped back. And with that meant the cost of Deathstroke and that whole story plan line that they had going forward with that. And I wanted to see Joe Manganiello as Deathstroke so bad.
So did I. Yeah.
I mean, that shot that we – the extra scene that we got at the end, anything that you've seen of him in his costume is just like, you know what? I don't even need to see – the Batman storyline, if it means that we get more Deathstroke.
And he clearly wants it, as he's so part of the hashtag release the Snyder Cut contingency. He keeps posting about that as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The hashtag I started, yeah.
Look at that.
Oh, you started that?
Yes, you didn't did. Know oh. that? Dorina's yeah. mentioned it every yeah. show. She always reminds us. Not getting any money from it, though.
Only comments.
Riley, talk to me about Batman. What's going on over there?
Well, over on the Batman side of things, some sources with Variety are saying that you know, they were saying it would – the entire film would unfold in Arkham Asylum, but they're hearing that it's just a couple of scenes, a handful of scenes set in Arkham. And if the movie works, Warner Brothers and DC believe that any of these villains could headline their own spin-off movies. Key cast members in both the Batman and Birds of Prey have contract options to appear in sequels and standalone films. So I think this is the Joker kind of effect that we're seeing, is that now they're looking at Matt Reeves' Batman and Birds of Prey – as an idea, maybe they can spin it off into R-rated movies or just movies in general and focus on the villain.
This is going to be interesting because we know that Jonah Hill – or we hear that Jonah Hill was offered $10 million – wanted $10 million, didn't get that, so he turned it down.
Right.
If only a couple of scenes are in Arkham
– can you just imagine for a second being in that position? Can you imagine? I'd like $10 million, no?
Bye.
I'm going to leave.
Maude, yeah. No. No, I cannot imagine that. I think about it all the time.
$10 million.
Like, was he offered 9 and was like, oh, not enough.
Just round it up. Can we just round it up a clean 10?
I would be the Penguin in a movie for, like, a Domino's pizza.
$43.
Like,
I would,
yeah, it's so
I
weird.
Would pay.
Yeah, exactly.
$20, just $20.
I know.
I'll 100%. Show up to
I
set.
Would turn into a penguin.
Put me in
you
Antarctica.
You have magic powers too.
Seriously insane. But it's crazy because he did turn it down, which makes me think that they're not going to be in Arkham the whole time, similar to this article, mm-hmm. because otherwise, why would he think he had the playing cards to say, I would like $10 million to be in a couple scenes of this movie? Considering that I think that probably Penguin, Riddler, all of these people are going to be in Arkham.
Man,
right.
I'm so ready for more Riddler.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah. Especially. Mr. Enigma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially Paul Dano. I love him.
But did you guys watch Gotham?
Yes.
Did you love the Riddler?
3 episodes.
I watched only 2. I backed out after 2.
I stayed the entire time like a true psychopath.
What a lonely road to walk.
It really was. Our mutual friend Sam Basher gave me all of the crap for it. I tried to convince him to watch every episode, and he finally tuned in for the finale and said it was dirt crap. So thank you.
Hey,
to
but
that.
Again, if you're in the comments and you love this, well, more power to you.
I love Gotham, but the reason I bring it up is because their Penguin and their Riddler were bomb.com.
Really?
Okay. So good.
Why? Why did you love them so much?
It was a different take, especially on Penguin. First of all, we had a skinny Penguin, which because now all these people saying, why are we not going to have a fat Penguin? That doesn't make any sense.
Don't fat shame penguins.
Good point. Especially after we're trying to turn into them.
There's
you know?
Climate change.
I know they have less to eat. That's why you're
have you seen
a
skinny
now.
Polar bear? Yeah. Broke my fucking heart. God.
That's so sad.
Excuse me.
What happened?
It was a picture of a skinny polar bear, like an anorexic polar bear.
Aww.
Because it's just not enough food to eat.
Where were you? How did you find it?
I am so alone.
What did you find?
yet not watching Gotham.
I'm literally picturing yes. Maude Googling.
That's how
like,
bad Gotham is.
Skinny polar
you're
bear.
So alone and you're looking up polar bears?
It was in my feed and I was okay. like, that's the saddest polar
But what were
Alex,
they saying?
You,
skinny polar bear!
Can you pull up a skinny polar bear?
What were they
it's
going to
break your hearts, do, guys.
Like, were they saying, so, adopt a polar bear today? Like, why did somebody show this to
it's
you?
It's like, try and deny climate change. Looking
oh.
At this.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
there
oh he is. No,
no, no, I don't want to look at this. Alex, get out of here.
Oh,
go
oh
back
God.
To Michael B. Jordan's ad. Yeah, get oh, thank God. We're safe. We're safe.
Wait, it didn't look like a...
That's so sad.
Oh.
I know. That kind of shit kills me.
I just sucked the energy out of this room. Oh, by the way, while I'm here, 80% of the koala species have just perished in the bushfires in Australia. So if you want to donate to literally save the species.
Thank you.
Because they are now not only endangered, they are considered the purpose in the – come on, help me with nature words.
I don't know.
The ecosystem.
Yeah. So there's so few of them now that they cannot actually benefit in the ecosystem anymore.
Jesus. Because I thought... So, Australia.
Are you going to get the giggles while I talk about this?
No, I said forest like a moron.
Give me a nature word. Forest. You're welcome.
Because that's where all the koalas
live. In the forest. Totally.
Like, what the flying fuck? Yeah. Why would I say that?
You know, you just need to go to Australia. That's all that's saying.
But am I a bad person for not knowing that? No. Like, how is it there's so many bad things happening in the world that when people mention them, I'm like, I didn't even know that was taking place.
Yeah, then there's a lot of things. It's really hard to keep up.
No, I went down that rabbit hole.
That I know.
But since Australia is like basically what I hear. I've never been. I've always wanted to go. But all my friends that visit say it's like it's completely different, especially how you guys live amongst nature. Like you guys, it seems like it's a whole like zoo in there, basically. Like people are just walking around. Is that true? And that's why it's different and you guys have way more animals than we do? Like
what do you mean? Like they're just walking and all the animals are there?
I mean, yeah, if you're driving down, you can see, it depends where you are in Australia, but you can see kangaroos jumping past. Yeah.
Like in Melbourne or Sydney, major cities, you see...
Not in the central, business district, no. But like, you don't have to go far to find nature and animals like that. Yeah.
Giant spiders.
Like where I grew up in Brisbane, we had midges, mozzies, geckos, moths the size of your hand, spiders the size of your hand, pythons, possums,
rewind to the
brown
beginning.
Brown snakes, red-bellied black snakes.
What were the first two things you said?
Midges and mozzies.
What is a midgie or a mozzie? Do you know?
Magical creatures from the Shire, I believe.
Oh. Well, midgie sounds really, really un-PC, but it's not at all. A midgie is a tiny, tiny little fly that when it lands on you, it stings, but it looks like it's the size of a freckle. So you can barely see it, but it hurts. Mozzies, short for mosquitoes. Ah. So I was going in size order when I was
midgies and mozzies?
Yes. I'm terrified.
What's its galore?
Yes.
Wow.
I'm terrified of snakes, so I don't know if I could live in Australia.
Snakes? What? That is the least Darina thing I've ever heard.
And sharks.
I know.
Oh, yeah, there's sharks.
Those are both of them. I don't think we like each other. Yeah.
Yeah, you might not want to go to Australia.
You're afraid of sharks and snakes.
Yeah, Jaws messed me up as a kid.
Oh, an anaconda, man.
Yeah.
I watched that when I was 11.
The snakes, they don't have shoulders, and they just move weird. I saw somebody quoted you saying
that the snakes don't have shoulders, which made you weird. I don't get that. Are shoulders like a safety net for you?
I don't know. I'm trying to be more respectful of nature and be like, you know what? They belong here because they're already here, but I don't know if I could touch one.
There's something funky
about that. But see, you did that, and it freaked me out.
Yeah, I don't need to touch them.
Yeah, exactly. But anyways, my point about that is to ask you, has the environment there changed as well? Like, were you just noticing, like,
animals
getting extinct all the time? Like, what's happening?
Oh, that has happened over the last century, yes. Yeah. Wow, such a weird question to talk about the nature of my country. The other thing I really want to say about it is that we haven't screwed it up so much that we can actually see the stars at night and the air is cleaner.
Exactly. That's why I was like, should I move there is what I want to know.
Yeah. No, the fact that I've got my passport and an escape plan, it's why I can sleep at night.
But can you say again about this koalas so that our audience, like seriously, because I went down that rabbit hole and looked at what's going on over there and it absolutely broke my fucking heart.
What is happening?
So these fires are taking out the koala population, and I saw one of the koalas that was like burned almost to death and it like broke my heart. And so if you know more about it, like I would like people to know.
There is a koala fund that's happening to save literally the koalas.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of the places, I believe it's in Port Macquarie, where they just wanted $25,000 raised so that they can look after the burnt and harmed koalas. And I think they're on 1.something million at the moment.
Wow.
So yeah, people, obviously it's like our
I can't
beloved
believe
species.
That. And it's because of global warming
this fire is a big reason for it right now,
California,
at least.
California, I feel like every couple of years is on fire.
Yep.
I happens feel like
every year
years,
now, California is going to be on fire.
I feel like several times a year.
Also, if you're smoking, don't throw your cigarette out the window.
Right. Yeah, that's smart.
Oh, it's my least favorite thing to see.
It's kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah,
right?
I have friends that I have seen do that, and I've called them out on it because how can you not? And they've said, no, that's not how it works.
How works? Fire?
I literally am so baffled by it. I see people do this all the time. It's kind of crazy to me that in 2019, with all of the knowledge we have, that people litter in general, but then that you take fire and you throw it out the window to the plants. Like, Why?
Yeah, I mean, or I think why? What they're saying is, like, if you stub it out and then you throw it onto, like, cement if you're at the car window, then that's, like, quite controlled. No, no, so many variables. Wind, maybe you didn't stub it out properly. So many things. Just don't do it. Just don't do it. Hey, actually, while you're at it, don't smoke.
Yeah. Or you can be like my neighbor who puts it out by throwing it in my fucking pool.
What?
Yeah.
What an idiot.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We're having a fight. So
In all fairness, it's also their pool.
It is apparently their pool, too, but he's right above.
I'm just saying, you said it like...
That's
like,
so
it's
lazy.
Your pool.
Isn't that where the...
It's my pool. Yes,
oh,
I'm owning it.
Good for you.
It's our pool, you're right. Okay. Then he shouldn't be throwing cigarette butts
in our pool.
I agree,
but you have bigger issues.
It's not an ashtray.
It's correct. It's not an ashtray.
No, neighbors are shit. And by the way, while we're on a neighbor rage, if you're my neighbor and that's your dog that you take out every night without a leash and let it poop on the grass that I have to walk across to get to my car...
Yes.
Stop it.
That's Mark, too.
Wait.
With the poop
pick up your
on
dog
the,
shit.
With the shit in the
yeah.
dog.
And oh, yeah.
His dog, the neighbor's dog, goes under the thing and onto his porch and shits
shit.
On his porch and goes back.
Do you know what happened the other
Which is
day, too?
Kind of amazing.
You have to get trained to do that.
They finally opened the pool. There was some construction and whatnot. I'm walking by that neighbor and I just glance over and I see inside the house and there is shit on their carpet. And
aww.
I'm like, you are that person. You literally do not clean up shit. And probably saw it there and went, hey, I'll get it tomorrow. And
what
it's
is,
disgusting.
What is that? I mean, I didn't grow up learning that I had to, you know, respect the environment. Like, that's just not – that wasn't in my culture at least. But now that I've become a little bit less selfish and I care about where I live and, like, try to be thankful for nature in general, like, why do people keep trashing it? I don't get it.
I don't think they care.
Lazy?
I think they're all
sad.
Up here with
just
their own problems, bigger issues that they don't go into, that they don't consider.
But we all live here, though.
In consideration.
Yeah. They're really doing it, shitting in the street.
Shitting
Things
in the
like
street.
That. Cody, can I go until 10:55 before we break? I changed my mind.
Roxy, you can do whatever you want
Thank
to
you
do.
Thank you so much,
you
Cody.
I'm right here.
Great.
For you. All right.
Because I realize
he is your hype man.
While we're talking neighbors, I don't think I've updated you guys about my situation.
Yeah, I mean, you know, she brought that up, and I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, wait, do you have an update for us?
Yeah, Maude, I've been in like a battle. A neighbor battle.
So you have a situation that is bad?
I've got a bad situation.
No. They are called a shituation.
It's a shituation. Oh. I love that.
Josh McCuga heard
Can't
that.
Can't believe I didn't think of that.
Shit show at the fuck factory?
I'm in a shituation, and it's about the trash barrels. So I live in a back house, and the people in the front house want me to take up the trash barrels through the driveway, but they park in the driveway and I can't get the trash barrels up. That's the premise of the situation. And every fucking week I get a text message from them, you didn't bring up the barrels. And I say, your cars are still in the driveway. And they want me to lift the barrel.
Levitate.
Throw it over their three cars in a row. Mm.
I don't see what's so unreasonable.
I've like injured
myself. Yeah, why are you being
multiple times.
So typical, Ross?
So in the front house, it's actually a duplex, which I didn't even quite realize for a long time because I don't interact with them at all. I'm never home. I'm always working.
Right.
So all of a sudden, this other girl who apparently lives above stopped me and was like, I'm flipping out about the barrels. And I was like, you're flipping out about the barrels? Right. And she was like, these people underneath us are horrible. I can't believe that they keep giving you crap about the barrels. They keep giving me crap about the barrels. She was on my team.
Are you
guys
have
an ally?
I have an ally.
That's awesome.
I literally wanted to cry. I was like, all I ever want in life is somebody on my team. And to look around and be like, that's fucking crazy.
Right.
That's crazy. You can't expect me to do that. Like, all the time I feel nuts because everybody's asking me to do things that I'm like, what? I can't do that. So she was like, I'm going to take care of this for you. So she put us on a group text and sent a novel that was like, here is why Roxy can no longer be expected to bring in the trash barrels.
She's
unless you guys change your ways.
She's like your publicist. That's amazing.
Shocker
she's your
guardian angel. Okay.
I literally just wrote back, yeah. Yeah! Exclamation point. Then she texted me, good contribution.
Did they reply?
They wrote back so kindly. They were like, totally hear you. We will definitely work on the parking situation. If there is ever a week in which she cannot do this, then we will make sure we bring up the barrels. I was like,
wowie.
Wow. You just need a publicist?
Two. The joy in my life.
Someone to believe in you is a game changer.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I literally could cry just hearing you say that. That's all I want.
I believe in all of you and people in the booth.
Yeah.
Cody, on a scale of 1 to 10, how sappy are we and how much do you hate us right now?
It's a good kind of sappy. It's like a group sappy.
Just the words where it's like, yeah. I'm going to take care of this for you.
And she doesn't know me. I was like, wow, why does she want to? Because it's so egregious that they've been doing this. Oh, so happy. She has been hearing it out the window. She's been like paying attention.
Oh, she's so good.
Anyway,
maybe she has a guardian angel.
She probably donated to the Koala Foundation.
I guarantee you she did. And every other foundation.
She probably cleans her dog's poop too.
Oh my God.
Always clean the dog's poop.
This girl's a god.
Can we have her on the show?
I would worship her.
I'm actually kind of afraid right now I made her up, but I have text messages.
Too good to be true.
She should be Superman.
She should be. Yeah.
Are you like imaginary guardian angel? Is that what
you
happened?
You went into a stasis state and you actually wrote it all. You took care of it.
I bought a new phone.
It's like Fight Club with Roxy.
Oh my God, it's literally like the angel of the devil, and the angel just came out and took care of things.
I think about this all the time. Are you guys ever in a public place and you're with somebody and they're like, oh, I got to go to the bathroom for a second, or I have to run to my car? And then all of a sudden I'll be sitting there thinking, am I here by myself? Did I make...
What a twist. You know what, Roxy?
No, I don't.
I've never had that thought in my life.
Anyways, I'll be out to lunch.
Your brain should be alone this whole time. Did you watch Truman Show or something on the
when
you were a kid? Or?
Yes, Roxy, your brain should be studied. 100%.
But it happens to me almost every time.
But I don't. I go weird shit. I go weird shit. Every time I'm in the bathroom in the morning, and it's like not as much in this place that I'm in, but two houses ago, guaranteed, if I'm brushing my teeth, I think of this video game. Without fail.
Okay.
I was like, man, yeah, that video game.
What's the game?
Elder Scrolls Online.
Why? Why?
But it would like, I get flashes of things.
Okay.
Where I'm like, oh, yeah, like that video game, that was sick.
Maybe it's like a mint thing?
It used to be Hercules for like 9 years.
Weird.
I just get flashes of the Legends of Hercules or whatever it was. Remember Kevin Sorbo?
Oh, yeah.
I just get a flash. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right.
But do you think it's because our brains were like computers and we have to kind of like, if we had to scroll... through like our hard drive and find that, and that's
no, it's a glitch, so it just pops up. Like,
that's happening on Titans right now. They're examining that, and like when you hear classical music, Beast Boy's attacking people. Right. So that's me.
Yeah,
that's you too. But this whole thing, though, Roxy, is this like a Fight Club thing?
No, I'm telling you. I just am so afraid. I'm telling you, the whole world has made me think that I'm crazy. That I'm so afraid that I am. That when I go out somewhere with somebody and then they leave. I think I've made up. I have made it all up.
Who's going to tell her that we're actually not here?
So you are Roxy Truman. This is the Truman Show.
I'll think about that, Maude, and I'll be like, all right, I should go watch and make sure afterwards that they existed. And then I'll see it. Maybe one of the reasons that I like to do this.
Existentialism that you're facing.
Which is what I think about all the time, and I will talk to you whenever you want.
It's fascinating.
Because that's my jam. Which is why I love Blade Runner in 2001 and all these fucking sci-fi dorky movies.
You sit in the room, you play the game. Yes. Weird shit?
Oh, yeah. All the time.
What you got?
Yeah. Come on, Mark.
Weird shit? I mean,
what's your thing?
Weird shit does your brain do?
Oh, God. How much time do you have? I mean,
21 minutes.
Yeah. 21 minutes? Go to next. I'm thinking.
Torino, what do you got?
I mean,
you don't
too
like
many
without
things.
Shoulders.
Well, my problem is because I'm bilingual and I grew up with mostly Spanish, but then English when I was like in sort of elementary school. And my brain just does weird things all the time that way. Like right now on this show, I'll be like, how do you say this word? Because I'm thinking about it in Spanish. And so then I'll say weird shit like, I don't remember the word for window. So I'm like, the mirror wall.
That makes perfect sense, though.
Yeah, that does.
But it's not even
sense.
Translate properly. It's just like what makes sense in my brain.
You know what, though? I do that sometimes. I'll look at a word and be like, how is this the word? Where did this word come from to explain this particular thing?
Other humans that convinced us that that's a word.
But I understand that there's actually probably an answer to that. But I picture like four dudes in a room being like, all right, what's the word for this thing? Paper. That's literally how I think words were made.
Language is very, very old. And if you're a linguistic, or like if you look at that side of thing and you study language, like
clearly we have not.
Yeah. So like in Harry Potter, all the spells, they're actually Latin for the word that you're doing. How's that? I'll blow your mind today with that little.
Yeah. Oh,
Lumos, light.
Yep. Mm. So Leviosa, levitate.
Engorgio.
I studied Latin in school.
Yeah.
ding. Oh, the dead language?
Cody, you didn't do a ding for Mutt, and that was a good one, goddammit.
We were busy coming up with words back here.
What do you got?
We came up with the word for phone and football. It was a whole thing.
No. Oh, my God.
It's not
look at them. They're doing it.
The
oh,
ball.
Look at that.
Only when you're doing
this is what I
feel
fucking
goal.
Love them.
What is
what
it?
Are they doing? Are they sharing
their
thing?
They've cut to the booth, and they're coming up with words right now.
Yeah, we're on the whiteboard.
On the whiteboard.
Words back in the day.
I didn't know there was a whiteboard in there.
There's been a live chat this whole time.
Oh,
huh?
Yeah. Everybody's all cool. Like, Mod's awesome. I love Mod, which they're correct.
Dorina, talk to us. What are they saying right now, other than loving Mod?
And what's everyone's little brain snap that you have? I get flashes of things that I haven't done or thought about for ages, and it's always a pop culture thing.
See, mine's dark. It's usually
you came up with yours.
Yes, it's death.
Have you had like a
Let's get into it.
It's like I will have
my favorite
I will
topic.
Have moments where I'm in my head, especially at night going to bed, where if it's like I don't know, all of a sudden I'm watching like so on TV, there's like a very high building or something that's like a shot where it's like Succession. I've been watching it a lot lately. So we're getting these like skyscraper shots of New York, and all of a sudden my brain goes to the top of that building and I'm standing there and I fall. And then I imagine myself falling and I go, ugh.
Is that when
I
you wake
freak
up?
Freak myself out.
How
no, no, no. I'm awake.
Oh.
I'm doing this in my head.
Well,
just
they say
on,
if you die in your sleep, you're dead, right?
Yeah, yeah. This is not a sleep.
I've fallen
this
and landed.
This is me just imagining worst case scenarios. Sense,
oh, that's why I can't watch horror movies.
Yeah, well, horror movies, that makes me forget and I go, oh, this is, you know, this is great.
No, see, when I watch a horror movie, when they have that 3 seconds before something happens, I have thought of 1 million worst case scenarios. And most of those are so much worse than
right.
what actually happens.
Right.
So in that 3 seconds, I experience 19 hells. Like, I literally experience hell, and I'm panicky, and I'm like, all of these things are so bad. And then it happens, I was like, oh,
that
was still pretty bad.
Wait, so Mutt, you don't watch horror movies because of that. So you're like Josh McCuga. So you don't even go to all like the Halloween haunted mazes or anything like that.
Last time I did that, I got a phobia. I got a legitimate phobia. I have automatonophobia. The fear of something that's not real coming to life.
Wow. So wait, what's behind you right now?
Oh, my God.
Wait, tell me about that. The fear is called automatonophobia.
Automatonophobia. I did a video on Geekbomb if you want to know more about it. Oh, snap's behind me.
Yeah.
You just got scared by Josh McCuga's scream, actually.
Is that him doing that? Isn't it? That's a quill.
Yeah. Cody, play some Josh.
Oh, that's him at the thing. Oh, God. Yeah. He actually sounds like a clown, and that's more horrifying than him being scared.
I think that's him in it, so it makes sense.
Oh, God.
It's horrifying. Cody, what's your weird shit, man?
I don't know. I was trying to think about it. Alex, do you have anything?
I guess I'm a little bit superstitious about things.
Ball, rain, what else? Come on. Yeah.
What do you mean? Like, you don't walk, like, you walk around ladders and things like that?
I guess with the number, like, numbers and patterns, like number 13.
Number 23?
That's a bit scary for me. I'm writing a song that's, like, it changes from, like, six.
It's good!
To a time signature that's, like, 13-4, and I'm like, I don't know if I should write it this way. So.
Oh.
That's pretty weird, man.
I don't even know if I fully get it.
You don't, I have no idea what
yeah,
I'm saying.
Yeah, he avoids 13s and stuff like that.
But 13-4, you don't know if you should write it?
4 is a really unlucky number. Is it in China? So they don't have a fourth floor on any buildings.
Is that true?
Is that like they don't have like the 13th row on certain planes and things like that?
Yeah. I know they don't have 13th floor.
Or not hotel. Floor, sorry.
Yeah,
row.
4 is another one. 4 and 13. 4 is like literally the word for hell. I
4?
Why
this
they
is the
call
first
it
one for me.
A roofie when
Ni hao ma.
You're on the floor.
Yeah, Chinese, I think.
Anybody get that? Roxy, you can repeat that. I got it. Cody got it.
I'm still quoting movies like Hangover. It's fine.
Okay.
Anyway, going back to the amazing topic at hand, let's talk a little more DC, guys.
Yeah.
Okay. That let's was get back to it.
Just congrats, about, team. Greatest segue,
it.
Greatest, like,
we went off
detour.
For a while.
Collider existential.
I mean, we hit some helping the koalas and fears
well, now
and
we
superstitions.
Actually have to help the koalas.
Yeah.
I'm really sad about that.
No,
I'm really
it is sad
about the polar bear. And but, I'm really right. sad that Sorry. I thought they lived in the forest.
That's what I do. I look at things and you know that are very sad, and I stay in that sadness. And then I spread that sadness, which is another word for a awareness, but it's just.
But
I
it's too
too
much awareness sometimes.
It's sad.
Yeah, and then you like put on the smits, and it's even more sad.
They say that if you wake up and you watch the news, there is a 30% chance that you have a worse day.
Oh, I believe that.
Oh, I've been much happier not being obsessed with political news like I was last year.
But then, what are you supposed to do? Just bury your head in the sand? I don't know.
No, I mean, there's a balance.
I don't have that.
It's the obsession that's bad.
Not good at balance. Totally obsessed.
Except when it's the clip where Trump, you know, says something during a speech to his right people saying, if I die, you'll die with me. And no one makes any noise. So the publicist is obviously in his ear saying, dude, say something. And he just goes, something.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Perfect.
I watched, made my day.
I watched Adele Dazeem clip like 45 times again last night. Adele Dazeem.
Talk about brain farts, right?
One and only Adele Dazeem.
When he says wickedly talented, that's where the train goes off the rails. You can watch it happening.
Talented.
The wicked, oh, shit. Here we go. It's her name. No. Adele
Dazeem. No, Mark, he does not for one second think he fucked up. He thinks he's nailed
it. No, it's because like, I do the same thing where I'm not 100% sure on someone's name. If I'm 98% sure, that 2% will get me every time. Yeah, so I would be like, hey, great to see you, Doreen. And it's, you just kind of, and that's what he does. He's like,
Dazeem. And then he turns like, nailed it. Like,
but he did it very confidently and walked away.
Okay, Riley, talk to me. Talk to me about DC stuff. What is going on?
Where are we? Because this is the longest
article. We talked Batman. We talked Superman.
Okay, and I got to the end of this article, and it's like it ends. Did you get it?
Yeah.
I missed this last part because it's been a very long article. We'll get to it. So Green Lantern, there are two things going on with Green Lantern right now that I'm looking at. One of them is actually doing a movie that J.J. Abrams are passing it over to J.J. Abrams to kind of maybe he can produce it as well as the Superman movie. Mm-hmm. But then they say the Green Lantern with Greg Berlanti for HBO Max is happening. So they're separate. I thought that was going to be for the movie.
Well, they kind of mentioned the article that they are planning on doing content on HBO Max that is under $65 million that they could possibly spin off into the movies. Mm. So Green Lantern might fall in that realm.
I kind of liked that DC kept it separate. Marvel double dipped. So it's like Marvel trying to make Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. line up. It means that you have to be across all parts of content as it's released for it to fit that timeline. For me, there was a relief in DC, the CW shows, staying completely separate, so I had a little less pressure about how I would consume said content.
Right.
So the fact that they're going to tie it in a little bit more, I don't think it's necessary.
Especially on a paywall service. Now we're not even talking about CW. I guess with Netflix, that makes sense. But DC Universe is an app that I think a lot of people probably don't have right now. HBO Max might be similar.
Well, it says here, in regards to Green Lantern, Geoff Johns is going to be delivering a script for Green Lantern Corps.
Geoff Johns loves Green Lantern. It's his favorite one. It's his little baby.
And I love Geoff Johns loving Green Lantern. And the project, that's supposed to be the end of this year, correct, that he delivers that script?
Does it say here? I can't really see. But the project may be presented to Abrams and Bad Robot to see if they're introducing and producing the picture. It doesn't say where the year is, but I'm assuming it's soon, if they're saying this.
We initially had heard that this was going to be a buddy cop film, that this was going to be a Jon Stewart, and I don't know whether they were going to do a Guy Gardner. I don't know who they were going to actually pair him with, but that's what – at least Jon Stewart and some kind of buddy cop thing.
Is it Jessica's the other one?
I think that they had mentioned two guys, but I'm not sure. There are so many Green Lanterns. They could go in a lot of different directions. But is that something that you guys would want? A Green Lantern show on HBO Max completely separate from Geoff Johns' Green Lantern movie in the theaters that's like a body cop kind of thing?
I mean, I've said it before where I don't mind different interpretations, even though you have the same character being released in different mediums, whether it's streaming, whether it's a movie. Just make it good. Yeah. It's like, I love Joker for that reason.
Don't
they didn't care about anything else, and they just did their own interpretation. And as long as you have people that are working on these characters that love the characters, you usually get some quality.
It's so hard, though, Dee, because I feel like we want creators to put blinders on and just create the best work. But then when DC didn't do that, when DC was trying to make everything fit in one world, everybody
kind
was like, that's like Marvel. Do it like Marvel. And then it didn't work as a success. And
that's
now
because they didn't release standalone films to build up the rapport and intimacy with these characters so that they came together, it was super exciting. They put them all together first, and you're like, this is too much, too soon.
Well, they try to rush it with BVS, right? Like that they, like Mark and I have complained many times, they should have done Man of Steel 2.
Yes.
And then the other standalone movies.
Wonder Woman.
But I also, like I said, I don't mind things not being connected. If you worry too much about connecting a universe, you can lose quality in storytelling, I think.
Yeah. To try and fit it in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. What else do we have? I know there was Aquaman Trench News.
Yeah, they're looking for a director for The Trench.
I can't believe this movie is still on the slate.
Yeah.
It hasn't been talked about in so long. This is the James Wan produced spinoff of Aquaman that's a horror movie.
My man.
There's like very little news directing. On this. He's not directing. They're looking for a director. That's all they say about this. The next film centered on Jason Momoa's Aquaman has been tapped by James Wan, and they're hoping to start shooting in 2021 for Aquaman 2.
Show of hands, or maybe say aye, because this is also a podcast, if you care about Aquaman.
I
actually really enjoyed the movie, even though it was cheesy as fuck. I loved how it looked. It looked like Flash Gordon. It was awesome.
It was really fine. I like it. I like the movie.
Did you hate it?
I didn't hate it. It was just
I didn't like it.
I
love James Wan. You're right. The directing was amazing, and what he was able to do with an underwater effect, like he had all the means. That was amazing. The script was weak.
I happen to love
Man of Steel, Batman v Superman. I love those, and the tone was just absolutely a 180 when we got to Aquaman, and I was like, "Where's So I was a little bummed by that, and it didn't entertain me that much.
But Roxy, you like Jason Momoa as Aquaman, right?
I like Momoa. I think he's great as Aquaman. I like the movie. I think that there were holes in the script. Tonally speaking, it was kind of unclear what it wanted to be.
For sure. But those action sequences, it was like, how cool is this?
You're
like,
the action's great.
It's distracting me.
Yeah. I thought that I really enjoyed a lot of it. Yeah. I actually liked it less rewatching it the first time I saw it. I think I liked it more because it just was so great to look at.
Right. In the theater, it's just a spectacle.
Yeah.
I had the opposite of that. Because
really?
I had a real problem in the theater watching it. I was like, ooh. And then I watched it again at home and I was like, oh, it's not as bad as I remember. So
I also had I don't know if this happens to you, Maude, but I was doing the junket for this movie, and sometimes it makes me have rose-colored glasses for something when you're going and you're screening something so far in advance, and everyone in the room is a hype person for it, and you're watching it on this massive screen exactly how they want you to see it, and you're and everybody in the audience is like, yeah!
How I watch the movie impacts how I like the movie.
Me too.
The Last Jedi. I was at the world premiere, and the atmosphere and the energy from the people in that cinema, I had the best time watching that movie. And then when it got hate, I was like, I don't understand. How? Yeah. And they're like, well, this entire chunk in the middle doesn't make sense. I was like, you're right.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Rose-colored glasses.
Yeah, so
I was there too, and similar thing happened to me where the Yoda.
Oh, good for us.
Yeah.
Agree.
The Luke and Yoda scene. I was like, oh, this is so cool. I'm so happy. Like, it's bringing me back to my childhood. And then the Canto Bite stuff started, and I was like, I don't know if I like that as much. And then later, I was like, yeah, I was sure I didn't like it.
Yeah,
it's weird.
Canto Bite is fine.
I was like, why didn't we get more Justin Theroux? Right. All he did was Justin Theroux the dice.
Yeah.
Hey, Josh McCoy liked that one too.
Boom.
Nailed it.
What else? Do you want more?
Yes, I do.
Okay, good.
What else?
Because we are on the precipice of a Last Jedi conversation, and I've been saying over and over again, all roads lead to fucking Last Jedi. I mean, it just always seems to happen that way.
All roads lead to DC.
But DC, here we are. For The Flash, they're still moving forward on Ezra Miller's interpretation.
I like it.
Andy Muschietti is going to oversee that. It's still in development. Christina Hodson, who wrote Bumblebee, is writing the screenplay now.
Yeah.
She's about to finish this and turn it in, and then she's going to move on to Batgirl.
Fantastic.
Super excited about Andy Muschietti and Christina Hodson teaming up. Super not excited about Ezra Miller being in this movie.
Really? I'm so glad he's still involved.
Did you not like him in Justice League?
Like, really did not.
Really,
I thought he was one of the better parts in it.
Me too.
Yeah, it needed that comedic relief, and I thought he was great.
I didn't think... Oh, go ahead.
Just him as a person, I believe, is a liability.
Interesting.
Is it true that he travels around with, like, his life guide person?
Guru?
Yeah, guru. Because maybe that's what we need.
I mean, I do need that. I actually adore him as a performer. I think he's excellent.
He's
in
great.
Everything else.
Yeah.
I cannot stand this interpretation of Barry Allen. It drives me nuts, maybe because I am such a fan of Grant Gustin and I have that at the same time. But it just, when I watch it, I'm like, that. I feel like those stupid people that tweet, not my president, not my Barry Allen, not. It just isn't. He just. It's not.
I can understand that he's different than the Barry Allens and the other Flashes that we're used to. I just really liked what he did in the movie.
He's not as put together as Grant Gustin. I feel like that iteration of the Flash, like he kind of knows what's going down and he's able to handle it better. This one, he's just a little kid who's just like, what the hell?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I love that reaction because that made me actually kind of relate to the character work because he's like, I guess this, how do I fight?
Yeah.
That was my favorite part of the movie where he's just like, he's not a superhero and he's becoming one. And that's my favorite part of these movies.
That's why you love Spider-Man the most?
Because
that's all Spider-Man is.
Well, it's like more like Joker and Magneto, but, you know.
Yeah, she likes the villains.
Bad. I have all this evil in me. What do I do with it?
Remember?
Oh, that felt good. They're dead now.
No, Mom, they're bad people.
Do you remember when Dorina?
No, they're bad people. Oh. I just grew up fascinated by the characters. Is all.
This yeah. is what happened. We asked Dorina what her weird shit was, and she was like, "Oh, probably the fact that I'm bilingual," and said nothing.
Oh,
about
just bypassed the Satanism.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Didn't want to mention that Magneto and Joker. Cool. Uh huh.
Look up to the villains.
No, I don't.
It might
look
be the fact that I speak multiple languages. Just to be
the
clear.
Best villains are the moral gray
area. You adore
area.
Them. You love them. I know. You look up to them.
I don't like what they you do, don't but like I understand what they do. Why they become villains.
Which iteration of Magneto is your favorite?
They're shitty.
Ooh, like in comics or in movies?
Which iteration?
I mean, I love Michael Fassbender as Magneto.
Ooh,
I think
Daddy Maggie.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
I actually have not heard that, but I'm into it.
I have never heard that. I'm into it, too.
I think it's the first time it's ever been birthed out of one's mouth.
But it sounded right. It just went well. Guys, before we go to commercial, because we are going to take calls when we come back, Riley, anything else in this article?
It ends with the Snyder Cut that there's an insider there that says, not going to happen. Yep. That it's a pipe dream, said one knowledgeable
Let's go
insider.
To break.
There's no way it's ever happening, is what they said.
I can play
Who
a
does
Serena song?
Have to kill to get that to happen?
Oh, and guys, we didn't say it. We didn't say it's a pipe dream. He read it. Oh no, the internet, I feel you already. We'll be back taking calls, not about Zack Snyder.
At Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care centers, get a $25 prepaid Visa card when you get any Napa automotive battery. It's the best deal for some of the best batteries from some of the best car people around. But we might be a little partial. Anywho, pick up any Napa automotive battery and save $25. Do it yourself or have it done for you. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care centers, while supplies last, offer ends 8/31/20.
We begin today's meditation with a few sipping exercises to remind us a little treat can go a long way. So pick up your McCafe iced coffees, close your eyes, and deep sip in. And deep satisfaction out.
Take a treat retreat at McDonald's. Right now, get a McCafe iced coffee in any size and any flavor for just 99 cents until 11 a.m. Price and participation may vary.
Hey guys, it's Cody here. Do you love DC movies, shows, and comic books? Well, we have good news for you. DC Universe, the ultimate DC membership, is offering a special 14-day free trial to our listeners. Visit dcuniverse.com/podcast1 and use promo code Collider to start your free trial. DC Universe has so much to offer, including their action-packed original series like Doom Patrol, Young Justice, Outsiders, Swamp Thing, and Titans Season 2. It doesn't stop there. The highly anticipated adult animated series Harley Quinn premieres on November 29th. Tune in to see Harley, voiced by Kaylee Cuoco, break things off with the Joker and attempt to make it on her own. Will she be the newly liberated queenpin of Gotham City? Catch new episodes on Fridays. If you want to experience more DC, watch new animated films, enjoy classic animated series remastered in HD, binge some fan favorite DC shows, watch classic films, and so much more. If reading is more your thing, DC Universe has over 20,000 digital comics that you can access all at your fingertips. DC Universe is available on your favorite devices so you can watch on the go. Don't waste any more time. Start your free 14-day trial today. Visit www.dcuniverse.com/podcast1 and use the promo code Collider. That's www.dcuniverse.com. www.dcuniverse.com/podcast1. Use the promo code Collider to start your 14-day free trial. This code is valid through December 31st, 2019. Collider Live is sponsored by Warner Brothers Digital Networks, the operator of DC Universe. DC Universe is only available in the U.S.
Napa know-how.
This month, Napa's got all kinds of motor oil deals that can save you some serious cash. Like a 5-quart jug of Napa Full Synthetic Motor Oil for just $16.49. With savings like that, you may start feeling like a VIP. But don't let it go to your head. These oil deals are for everyone. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
General States pricing. Sales prices not include applicable state local taxes or recycling fees. Offer ends 8/31/20.
Does anybody want breakfast? Guys, let's go. I'm leaving for McDonald's in 5 seconds.
Why didn't you start with that?
The Breakfast Stampede Meal. It's only at McDonald's, where there's a meal for every morning.
And nothing says morning like a classic sausage McMuffin with egg. Right now, get this all-time favorite for just $2 on the $1-$3 menu. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Hey guys, it's Perry here to let you know that Movie Talk is moving. We've had a great time in this 3 p.m. Pacific slot, but guess what? We want you to start your day with Collider Movie Talk, so we're moving. 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern. It's going to be a lot of fun. You're going to get a longer show with some brand new segments, so tune in starting Monday, September 16th, 9 a.m. Pacific. See you there.
Hey everyone, John Rocha here, the host of Collider Sports Time. Well, you know, if you've been watching us every week, you know we break down the latest and the greatest in the world of sports, talk about the big issues, the big games, all of it with a rotating band of
guests.
What's
up, guys? Your boy Dorian. What's up, guys? What's up, guys? What's up, guys? Your boy Dorian.
We've had so many great guests. Now, if you want to see more of Sports Time or you want to try it out for the first time, remember to subscribe to Collider Sports YouTube channel for all the sports goodness.
Hey guys, it's Riley here. Let me tell you about the Riley Roundtable. You know it, right? It drops every Thursday on Collider Conversations, and I have guests from all across the space. John Rocha, Gray Drake, Alexander Desplat came on at one point. We talk everything
Alexander
from movies.
Desplat,
we talk about life and everything in between. What do you want to hear? What do you want to talk about? It's the Riley Roundtable every Thursday on Collider Conversations. You get it there.
Hi, I'm Corey Jandro, host of Collider Heroes, and I'm here to tell you we've got 20-minute episodes coming at you on Collider Video, on the YouTube, as you've always loved it. Plus, now we've got hour-long podcasts dropping every Thursday, so make sure to subscribe to the podcast because it's going to get even more sweaty on the podcast. Plus, every week we're going to try to get some very special guest interviews, all of the people that help shape these movies and TV shows you love. So, video, podcast, interviews all coming at you. Be sure to subscribe. Thanks so much, guys. Stay sweaty.
What's up, Collider fans? Ryan Satin here from ProWrestlingSheet.com, where you can find the top stories throughout the week in the world of professional wrestling. If you're a wrestling fan like myself, then you'd be doing yourself a disservice by not checking out all the shows we do every week on YouTube.com/C/WrestlingSheet. In particular, on Wednesdays, we've got a SmackDown recap show hosted by John Rocha and myself, where we pick apart and talk about every little thing that happened
hey,
on the Blue Brand. So do yourself a favor and go subscribe at youtube.com/C/WrestlingSheet.
Hey guys, Riley here, and let me tell you about Rule of Two. You looking for a Star Wars fix? Well, Rule of Two is that show. It drops on Collider Video's main YouTube channel, as well as on Podcast One's Jedi Council feed. So go over there, subscribe, share it with your friends. It's hosted by myself and Mark Fernandez. We talk everything in the Star Wars universe with a lot of deep dives and a lot of conversations that go all in. You know what to do. Subscribe, join us there, and rise.
Hey everyone, John Rocha here, the host of Collider Mailbag. New episode drops every Saturday and Sunday in your face and in your ears, answering the questions from you fans about the world of entertainment, film, and television. Me and great guests from our sphere do the best to answer your questions from Twitter, from Instagram, and of course, email as well, every Saturday and Sunday.
Hi, I'm Amy Dallin, one of the hosts of Collider Heroes, and starting right now, you can catch our show Tuesday nights with a new Collider Heroes and a longer Collider Heroes podcast, where Coy and I are going to talk your ears off. You already know that's coming. So make sure to go to YouTube, subscribe, and find us on the Collider Heroes podcast feed for all of that sweaty goodness.
The Witching Hour is all over Collider right now. You can listen to that horror film podcast with myself, with Haley Fouch. We talk about
witchiness. We talk about slashers. We talk about space horror. You name it, all on that show on the Collider Factory feed. And on top of that, you can find an article all about Witching Hour every single Tuesday on Collider.com. Check it out. Get scared. Hopefully you survive the Witching Hour.
Welcome back to the Collider Live right now with the dancing people.
This music's awesome.
I love that.
Is this royalty music, Cody?
Royalty yes, free. It
is. Damn it.
Yeah, Thad walked by, so Cody made sure to play it loud. happy that Maude, without even knowing that we do this, you were playing the drums when we started the show
it's
or whatever.
Because it's got such a fat beat.
Duh, Roxy.
It does have a totally fat beat. You know what else has
this
a fat
great.
Beat? All the stuff going on at Collider.
Yes.
I know that.
What a segue.
Nice segue.
Seamless.
No one ever said I was great, okay? I know that Perry just did a video for Ready or Not coming out.
So Ready or Not, if you guys haven't seen that movie, it's one of my favorite movies of the year. And Perry is awesome and brave, and she went bungee jumping for Jumanji. And she also learned how to use a crossbow with Ready or Not star Christian Brune, I believe is how you say his name.
Christian Brune.
So there's a cool video up there on our Collider video channel for you guys to check it out.
Oh, that looks fun.
Yeah. I love how all these junkets are just like kind of inadvertently training her for the zombie apocalypse.
Right.
She's just like
really
figuring out everything and crossbows.
It's also the most ever in her element. Like, she looks so happy being there doing that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, she was so happy about the bungee jumping. I'm like, you are crazy.
I would never.
No.
I did
but
not.
But you were so you went, but you did not
no,
bungee
thank
jump.
You.
No, thank you.
Why would
thank
I want to jump off a perfectly good platform?
Land.
Exactly.
So you abstained.
Because you only live once, dude.
So the feeling of free fall, so if there's really bad turbulence in a plane, roller coasters, or the free falling
roller coasters,
kind of,
yes, but
like the ones that just drop, that rush down your spine that you get is my least favorite thing in the world.
So you don't do roller coasters.
I love it.
Some which are fine, but that drop sensation, I hate it.
In a plane, it's the worst.
Oh.
Because you're in a plane that could go down. You talk about my thing that I think.
Mm-hmm.
Planes is a big one.
No, planes are amazing.
But cars are more dangerous.
Here's my question.
I'm in control. I'm in control of the car.
That you think
feeling.
Of.
That I think.
You think you're in control of your life, Mark.
I am not. I understand that. But please don't go there because then I'm going to fuck myself up in the brain.
Serious question. That dropping feeling you feel when you're falling that you just described through your spine. I feel it in the same place that I feel sex. Do you guys not?
Whoa.
Nope. I don't mean my vagina. I mean like the inner part of where a penis ends up. Like I literally
wait, what?
I'm not kidding you. I think I love it so much because I feel it in the same inside. Like it's the same feeling.
You need to have sex.
My face looks like it's judging.
So
I think
bad.
Sex has changed since the last time you had it, Roxy.
So long.
Yeah, we've updated
but
sex.
But you do flying so much more, I've noticed.
And fly constantly. Sometimes I don't even know where I'm going. Just go to the airport.
Hey, Six Flags. You know I want to go to Six Flags? Six Flags? We should go to Six Flags.
I'm not kidding you.
Flags.
I guess this is a conversation I should have had with you guys off air, but whatever, now that we're here.
No.
You guys
when you're in the room, you play the game.
It's not that same spot for you guys?
Are you saying that you're on a roller coaster?
That's a hard no from me. Pun intended.
Is that what you sound
it's
like?
It's more of a hard yes, when soft you, no.
Wait.
I don't know.
Cody, what is this?
It's the greatest.
What is this, Cody?
Funny enough, that was a clip that Remsen found. That was from that bungee jumping thing.
Whoa.
There was some guy that was at the junket. And he's like, this sounds hilarious.
It sounded like he was on a roller coaster.
Let us know in the chat. Do you almost come every time you fly? Or go on a roller coaster?
I'm telling you guys, it's the same location in my body.
Where is it for you? It's down my spine.
It's not really. It's like, that's like your G-spot's in a weird spot?
No, it's not my G-spot. It's like where
the uterus
I'm
almost.
I'm saying it's where the penis ends up. Like the
well, it depends on the penis, no?
Totally. But
there are variables at stake here. Correct.
The larger penises that end up, again, haven't had sex in a really long time, so hard to describe it, but they poke at a place that pokes at also.
Do we need to bring up a diagram? I do believe you are talking about the lower part of the uterus.
Here, I got this. Roxy, when a man loves a woman...
he goes on a roller coaster.
He inserts his penis in her vagina.
You know what? You know what? I'm just being honest and open with you guys. No, I can't share my feelings.
So don't worry, we'll take you to Six Flags soon.
We got the open part down.
This is
not open enough.
I know it's like lower gut. It's like, but much lower for you.
Yes.
I'm learning so much here. Thank you for this.
I know. I just needed to string you out.
Let me feel a little better about it.
Collider, incorrect sex education.
Yeah. You know what's better content than this? All the FYC screenings. Correct. Randy, what's going on?
That was a hell of a segue. So what we got here?
I feel that.
That might be my favorite soundbite in a very long time.
Wait, can we do that again? Can Mod translate the O face while you play the soundbite, Cody?
Cody, please.
Okay. You look like me on every roller coaster.
Now, please do.
I'm flying right after this. Well, you want to come with me and you can just see our face?
Now, please do your Jurassic Park after this.
Wow.
Shit. See, I just picture it going right into Ellie in Jurassic Park.
Let's talk about what I did. I segued perfectly. Let's
talk about
what
right.
I did. Really you did cool. not right. plug what we needed to plug.
This, okay, all serious now. When a man loves a woman.
Serious.
I'm kidding, Roxy. FYC, we are very excited at Collider to have this because through ArcLight Cinemas, we are doing these screenings, these special things. And coming up on the 3rd, December 3rd, 2019, we are going to have a screening at ArcLight of Joker, which the DP, Lawrence Scheer. So that's a good one. But also
– Lawrence is a friend of a friend.
Nice. Rocket Man on December 7th. With Taron Egerton, Jamie Bell, and director Dexter Fletcher.
I'm going to be going to that one.
So that's a good
Both
one.
Both great movies.
Two of those on – so December 3rd is Joker and December 7th is Rocketman. You can get your tickets at ArcLightCinemas.com. You're going to be seeing Perry, Jeff Snyder, and Scott Mantz. What a great – so the screening and the Q&A, this is a fantastic thing we have going at ArcLight. Thank you to everybody over there at ArcLight. ArcLightCinemas.com. Get your tickets.
Who's got the best Joker laugh?
We've discovered it's not me.
Mm. But I still love Roxy. So let me do mine, Maud, and then Roxy will show hers.
Okay.
I'm a little sore right now, but you know,
you're also
it was
not
okay.
enough dead inside.
Oh, no.
You got to get
a little light in there.
Go.
Oh, boy. Here we are.
What the fuck?
It's like Pee Wee Herman.
What happened? How is that the place that you go?
Not enough sex, smile.
That's what I think I sound like.
No.
Whoa.
Definitely not.
Okay, I will do your impersonation.
Well, we have the
joke
tape,
now.
So.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
It's Pee-wee Herman.
Pretty good.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is.
Give me back my bike!
Oh, my God. You are what I do when I can hear Christopher Walken, and then what I make is so not what I think
it's,
I'm doing.
It's me with all impressions. And it's
walking here.
You know,
what,
you can
that
laugh.
You're
you laugh. You scream. You go, and you do your Joker.
It's like when he was going to be Han Solo, right? He's like, fast as shit.
Fast ship.
Cody, open up those phone lines so they can rip us apart.
I think I'm getting back again.
There you go.
I think that you're all so great.
Do your Christopher Walken. I want to hear it.
Oh, no. You sit in the room. You play the game.
Yeah.
I'm walking around.
Oh, Lord. You know, it wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad.
It wasn't good. It wasn't
Here's
good.
The thing. I
Not
really
Christo
think,
Walker.
I think I'm really good at it.
Aww.
All the impressions, but I have heard from people I'm not. So I acknowledge that exists while I also acknowledge my truth, which is that I'm very
God.
Good.
I cannot wait to hear you scream on a roller
Here's
coaster.
Here's what's
Cody.
Good.
We have a call, by the way.
Okay,
yes,
caller,
we're going to use this as the call.
Caller,
okay.
You're on Collider Live. Where are you calling from? Who are you?
Hey, it's Matt Link from Koreatown.
Hey,
Matt! So happy to have you. What's going on? What do you got for us today?
I just want to say I'm not very familiar with Maud, but you are fantastic.
Isn't she?
Is just loving you. You're hilarious.
This is why we wanted Maud on the show.
Thanks, hell yeah, to Maud. It's so crazy because I feel like you were so embedded in this space and then you...
Matt's a new Collider fan. That's what I'm hearing. Because if you are... Shout out to all the loyals, all the old schools... But hello to the new people, too.
Amazing. Any question for us? Or you just want to tell Maude she's great?
Well, I did want to say that, but I had a quick question. Just what is one thing in, like, the media space that you hate? Like, for example,
publicists.
For me, I fucking hate car commercials. I just can't take them.
Sorry.
They're on it, I go into a stupid rage. So that's just like a little.
I'm so with you, Matt.
I was wondering what you guys.
Matt, think. Great question. Thanks for the call. Cody and Alex, were you guys laughing about?
Oh yeah, that was funny.
Just what part you hate car commercials on?
That was the Mod thing.
So here's my thing on the red carpet. I mean, I'm at the mercy of getting content, right? And I need the stars to just talk to me, and I have tried every single thing. The amount of publicists that have turned their back on me, and I've got some horror stories about some particular stars, publicists, where they feel that aggression and
dismissiveness.
Pure meanness is where I was going, is a part of the job. And no. I have a theory that doesn't matter what you do or who you are, you do not have a right to be a dick. That is a choice. Being a dick is a choice at the end of the day. And some people feel like applying dickishness actually helps them, and I strongly believe that it hurts.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's like a weird thing where people think that they're going to get some respect through being mean or fear, in which you're not at all.
Except for all of the publicists that we work with here at Collider, because they
are the Obviously, this is a hashtag not all, but there's one or two where I've had a bad experience.
I've had the same thing happen to me multiple times, and it sucks because I don't like anybody whose goal is to make you not feel like a person. That's a weird goal to have.
What a wonderful way to say it.
And that's crappy.
Yeah.
Because we are all people. So.
That we know of. Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm here going, I'm so confused. I thought my job was to help you promote your movie.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like we've been invited here and that this is what you wanted me to do.
And we're both just trying to do our jobs.
Yeah.
And I think that if we can just place a little respect on that. Mark, it's a good day.
Any industry things like car commercials or publicists that you're not feeling?
Car commercials.
Shout out to my publicist friends, by the way.
Yeah. Some of them are great. You. The great ones are even
Most
better.
Most of them are great.
Yeah.
I don't like those commercials with those pills that when they go to the side effects.
Include extreme explosive diarrhea, suicidal tendencies.
Right. Yeah. So you're sitting there and you're
orgasms from roller coasters.
All right, diarrhea. Okay, that would suck. Okay, stomach ache, sure. Okay, hit the back. Okay, death? It's like it keeps going.
It's this thing, though, where it's like, do you sometimes have a slight headache that makes you feel bad for about 3 seconds? Try this tablet.
Right.
Side effects include every awful thing out there. Suck up the headache.
It's juxtaposed with these people enjoying life. They're like, side effects include death and dismemberment.
Yeah.
You might have oily discharge. And you're just like running. And they're like, and I'm
studies
like,
have proven that 4 out of 10 people did commit suicide taking this product.
Exactly. Oily discharge?
Well, see, I was trying to pull what I've actually heard from these commercials, and then a sideways quote walked in there.
What is oily discharge?
Use your imagination, man.
Oily discharge.
I am.
I mean, there's a lot of weird stuff that comes out of at least our vaginas. I don't know about penises.
I don't know about oily, though. Like that feeling.
I've had oily pores before.
Yeah, me too.
That's true.
And that's
a quote
technically
from sideways.
A discharge.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Drina, what do you hate?
So many things.
The word discharge, actually.
Yeah, me too. It's actually like.
That's just, discharge is just a really bad word.
I don't mind moist like other people do.
I'm fine with moist.
Discharge, it's not friendly.
I just don't like commercials or media in general that doesn't seem authentic, right? Like anything that you're, like you're trying to sell me something and pretending everything's fine in your commercial and it's not true. I just don't. Yeah, it's basically, and that's the world of advertising. Right?
I'm going to go up there and just say those companies that are trying to save a buck so they get someone from their staff to do the ad or the voiceover without realizing that it's a talent to do that. We have 20% off all of our curtains for until Saturday.
See, I'll take 2 hours
that's a
of
really
that.
Good accent.
I want to watch them just, the lights on up here, but they're like,
yeah.
That to me is pure comedy.
And that's take 182. You know it.
Yeah, 100%.
Cody and Alex, you guys have any?
Off the top of my head.
Okay. Thanks for playing.
Hey, Maude, I'm Alex. Nice to meet you.
Hey, baby boy.
Hey, I don't have anything.
Oh.
We do have a call.
Well, let's take it.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Caller, you are on Collider Live. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
I just want to see if Riley's okay. Riley, are you fine?
Do you have a name?
I'm fine. You have no idea how much fun I'm having right now.
Sounds like you're crying.
I've been watching
the show today, and Jesus Christ, what a shit show.
In a good way?
Yeah, in a good way.
Good. Shit show in the fuck factory. It's my new saying.
Well, do you have a question for us? Jesus, and what's your name? Who are you?
She said he's from Miami, Florida. I missed the name, though.
Brian.
Hey, Brian. Brian, thank you for calling in. Mark is okay, right? Mark, blink once if you're fine. Well, ooh, too many times. Yeah, he blinked way too many times. Do you have a question for us today?
I hung up on him because I thought we were
Good.
Oh, shit.
Cody, I get that decision. It's okay.
I'm so sorry.
I understood where it came from. Let us know when we have another call with that excellent orgasm
sound.
Oh, my
God. I think it's hysterical. He thought I was not okay. It's just because I coughed because something just went down the wrong pipe, I guess.
It's just a joke. All right.
This is the greatest soundbite.
Caller, you are on Collider Live. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, I actually got through.
Yay! What's your name?
Hello?
Okay, I'm going to turn this off so I can hear you. Hello?
Hello, can you hear us? We're asking your name and where you're calling from.
Callie from Texas.
Hi, Callie. From Texas. Joining the Vagina Live. Dun, dun. What do you got for us today?
I am so excited that you said that.
We're so happy to have you.
Mostly, I was just calling in to say hello, and I love the new show. Rocks, you're my girl. I've loved you all the way since DC Movie News.
Thanks, Callie. Oh, then we got a lot of DC Movie News today on this show.
Yeah, we did.
Yes,
we did. That was a good
segue.
I wrote it down.
Callie, anything you want us to talk about today on the show?
No, not specifically. Just wanted to say, hey, love y'all. It's like the only time I ever get to call. I'm a teacher, so I'm off from school right now.
What do you teach?
Oh. It's off to Thanksgiving.
What do you teach?
Oh, I'm a pre-K teacher.
Aww. What's the worst thing about teaching pre-K?
That they're 4 and 5 year olds and you get your attention for about 10 seconds.
Yeah.
I could never do that job.
Callie, you must have the patience of a saint.
Yes.
Well, we know she has the patience of a saint because calling into the show is a treacherous experience.
Is she our guardian angel?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Are you the one who helped me with the garbage cans?
No, I'm not. Although I can help you with kids if you need me help there, Rock.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that's going to be for a long time. Considering the closest thing I have to sex is a roller coaster ride. Thank you, Callie, so much for calling in.
Thank you, Callie.
We really appreciate it.
And thank you for your teaching service, because that's hard. Good for you.
Yeah, right.
What's happening, Mark?
This thing.
It smells?
Oh, it's fucking awful.
I told you all.
It's awful. Watch out, Mon. I should have warned you. It just occurred to me there was a stench, and I just went... Oh.
What is that?
You know what's so exciting about that? I don't even know if I announced this, that we have a guest coming in today, and I can't wait until he smells our microphones. Adam Carolla, guys, and his producing partner, Nate Adams.
Boom.
So definitely they're going to be getting that good, good smell all up in there.
Just a little
noses.
Febreze, guys. Just spray a little Febreze.
We've done that.
Oh.
Yeah, but we did it the wrong way, Maude. Oh, how would you do the Febreze?
I'd spray it.
Yeah, but just directly on, like this?
I'd mist it.
Okay.
Yeah, misting. Kind of
no. Oh my God. Poor Cody.
Mistin.
No. We ruined all the equipment.
Yeah. Because the equipment.
Well, you did it on it.
There it is.
Right there.
You got to take it off. Exactly. Caller, you're on Collider Live. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Cody.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Luke Nelson. How's it going?
Hey, Luke.
Hey, Luke.
Love hearing from you, Luke. What do you got for us today?
Okay, so my question is, who the fuck is going to play Michael Jackson? And even better, why... would you want to take that role at this point? Like, it just seems like a misguided film. I feel like that the actors aren't going to be chomping at the bit to take on this role. Like,
Luke,
even,
I'm hearing some aggravation. Yeah,
completely
from you,
fair question. Thank you so much for calling in. Let's talk about it. We talked about it a little bit on yesterday's show. The new Michael Jackson biopic that Graham, the same producer from Bohemian Rhapsody, is producing.
Yep.
I think it's a fair question, who's going to take it on. It's not just who they want, who's going to accept this role.
John Cena.
Definitely John Cena.
I think John Cena would be perfect.
But other than John Cena.
Yeah. Definitely also John Cena.
John Cena.
I think John Cena would be
candidate.
Good.
Yeah. I think an actor would want to take this role.
Maybe an unknown.
I was going unknown actually. Because
or,
big break.
Or just like Michael Jackson, they shouldn't touch it.
But you know who could do it, though? Tilda Swinton.
I partially agree with that.
She can do anything, that's all I'm saying.
You like that casting?
I don't hate it.
Yeah, it's going to be really challenging, first of all, to make anybody look like Michael Jackson. But then also, we talked yesterday about the project in general. To me, it's a big woof, and I don't feel like touching it with a 10-foot pole.
Where are you going to go? You have to touch it.
You have to touch the big
you
woof.
You have to touch the controversy.
And the big woof.
You have to go into the story.
I know.
Yeah.
I do think that...
You don't have to do anything.
No, if they're doing it.
If they're doing it.
Oh, I see what you mean. They can't dance around
the fact
that
you go do a movie and it's just a celebration and it's like
it was a gray area.
His whole life and then he dies without any mention of this, there's going to be a very, very large contingent of people going,
Yeah, that's not the whole truth.
What's going on here? So, and I want to see that. I would really if they're going to go deep, go
actors'
deep.
Actors' jobs are to portray people, characters or people who existed. And I think that in the same way, and no, I'm not calling Michael Jackson this person, but even if you think that he is the devil incarnate, there are people who play Hitler, you know? Yeah. Or if you think that he's the bee's knees.
So you don't think it'll actually tarnish the actor's reputation if they take on this role?
I don't think it should. Whether it does or doesn't, I don't know. I honestly don't know. What do you think?
I mean, this is controversial. Acting is so interesting because, like, Scarlett Johansson has obviously received not once but twice she's accepted a role which she probably should have turned down.
Yeah.
It's really, really hard. I mean, Cats is going through a controversy at the moment where, a black actress is portraying a white cat.
I'm not sure about this.
No. Are you serious?
Is this a thing?
Yeah, but it's like, well, if she's accepted that role, shouldn't that not be her choice? And it's a cat. And apparently it's like an Egyptian cat, which is technically, if any cat was to be black, it would be that.
Or people up.
This is me answering the question. I just hope you got that.
I mean, I'm just really looking forward to Cats, so I'm actually very interested.
Not anymore. Not anymore after this.
After that controversy? Well, you know.
Well, it's not. It's just the audience members
I'm making light. That's kind of ridiculous.
Are you ready for this segue?
Yeah.
You know who loves cats? Adam Carolla, who we are going to be talking to right now. That's actually true. He talks about cats many times. Make that up.
That is a good segue.
I love cat
people. I know how to do this. Nate Adams, Adam Carolla, coming back with us after this. If you guys have questions, make sure you're writing them in the live chat. Maude Garrett, everybody, thank you so much
for
joining us.
Thank you, Maude.
Maude, where can everybody support you and keep up with you?
I'm at Maude Garrett on all social media, and head over to Geek Bomb. I do a lot of celebrity interviews over there.
What happened at the end?
I'm hungry. I haven't had breakfast.
Me too. I get it. I'm
got
starving.
The grumbles.
Yeah.
Hungry for your loving.
Okay.
All right. We'll see
you guys.
I'm going
to go to break now.
Yeah.
Go to break.
See you guys.
It's a pretty fun song. That's what Rocco wakes up to every morning right here.
Hey guys, it's Perry here to let you know that Movie Talk is moving. We've had a great time in this 3 p.m. Pacific slot, but guess what? We want you to start your day with Collider Movie Talk, so we're moving. 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern. It's going to be a lot of fun. You're going to get a longer show with some brand new segments, so tune in starting Monday, September 16th, 9 a.m. Pacific. See you there.
Hey everyone, John Rocha here, the host of Collider Sports Time. Well, you know, if you've been watching us every week, you know we break down the latest and the greatest in the world of sports, talk about the big issues, the big games, all of it with a rotating band of guests like Matt Nosh and Josh McCuga. We've had Taylor Brashadi on. We've had so many great guests. Now, if you want to see more of Sports Time or you want to try it out for the first time, remember to subscribe to Collider Sports YouTube channel for all the sports goodness.
Hey guys, it's Riley here. Let me tell you about the Riley Roundtable. You know it, right? It drops every Thursday on Collider Conversations, and I have guests from all across the space. John Rocha, Gray Drake, Alexander Desplat came on at one point. We talk everything from movies, we talk about life, and everything in between. What do you want to hear? What do you want to talk about? It's the Riley Roundtable every Thursday on Collider Conversations. You get it there.
Hi, I'm Koi Jandro, host of Collider Heroes, and I'm here to tell you we've got 20-minute episodes coming at you on Collider Video, on the YouTube, as you've always loved it. Plus, now we've got hour-long podcasts dropping every Thursday, so make sure to subscribe to the podcast because it's going to get even more sweaty on the podcast. Plus, every week we're going to try to get some very special guest interviews, all of the people that help shape these movies and TV shows you love. So, video, podcast, interviews all coming at you. Be sure to subscribe. Thanks so much, guys. Stay sweaty.
What's up, Collider fans? Ryan Satin here from ProWrestlingSheet.com, where you can find the top stories throughout the week in the world of professional wrestling. If you're a wrestling fan like myself, then you'd be doing yourself a disservice by not checking out all the shows we do every week on YouTube.com/C/WrestlingSheet. In particular, on Wednesdays, we've got a SmackDown recap show hosted by John Rocha and myself, where we pick apart and talk about every little thing that happened on the Blue Brand. So do yourself a favor and go subscribe at youtube.com/C/WrestlingSheet.
Hey guys, Riley here, and let me tell you about Rule of Two. You looking for a Star Wars fix? Well, Rule of Two is that show. It drops on Collider Video's main YouTube channel, as well as on Podcast One's Jedi Council feed. So go over there, subscribe, share it with your friends. It's hosted by myself and Mark Fernandez. We talk everything in the Star Wars universe with a lot of deep dives and a lot of conversations that go all in. You know what to do. Subscribe, join us there, and rise.
Hey everyone, John Rocha here, the host of Collider Mailbag. New episode drops every Saturday and Sunday in your face and in your ears, answering the questions from you fans about the world of entertainment, film, and television. Me and great guests from our sphere do the best to answer your questions from Twitter, from Instagram, and of course, email as well, every Saturday and Sunday.
Hi, I'm Amy Dallin, one of the hosts of Collider Heroes, and starting right now, you can catch our show Tuesday nights with a new Collider Heroes and a longer Collider Heroes podcast, where Koi and I are going to talk your ears off. You already know that's coming. So make sure to go to YouTube, subscribe, and find us on the Collider Heroes podcast feed for all of that sweaty goodness.
The Witching Hour is all over Collider right now. You can listen to that horror-filled podcast with myself, with Haley Fouch. We talk about witchiness. We talk about slashers. We talk about space horror. You name it, all on that show on the Collider Factory feed. And on top of that, you can find an article all about Witching Hour every single Tuesday on Collider.com. Check it out. Get scared. Hopefully you survive the Witching Hour.
Hey guys, it's Cody here. Do you love DC movies, shows, and comic books? Well, we have good news for you. DC Universe, the ultimate DC membership, is offering a special 14-day free trial to our listeners. Visit dcuniverse.com/podcast1 and use promo code Collider to start your free trial. DC Universe has so much to offer, including their action-packed original series like Doom Patrol, Young Justice, Outsiders, Swamp Thing, and Titans Season 2. It doesn't stop there. The highly anticipated adult animated series Harley Quinn premieres on November 29th. Tune in to see Harley, voiced by Kaylee Cuoco, break things off with the Joker and attempt to make it on her own. Will she be the newly liberated queenpin of Gotham City? Catch new episodes on Fridays. If you want to experience more DC, watch new animated films, enjoy classic animated series remastered in HD, binge some fan favorite DC shows, watch classic films, and so much more. If reading is more your thing, DC Universe has over 20,000 digital comics that you can access all at your fingertips. DC Universe is available on your favorite devices so you can watch on the go. Don't waste any more time. Start your free 14-day trial today. Visit www.dcuniverse.com/podcast1 and use the promo code Collider. That's www.dcuniverse.com/podcast1. Use the promo code Collider to start your 14-day free trial. This code is valid through December 31st, 2019. Collider Live is sponsored by Warner Brothers Digital Networks, the operator of DC Universe. DC Universe is only available in the U.S. All right, guys, as you can see, we're still figuring out where everybody is. Darina has sat down. We got Riley and Roxy. Okay, Darina's on the show now. Oh, we're going to turn her mic on.
Remember, they said to
all right, right there. Oh, hold on.
Cody, you're doing a great job.
Yeah, we're doing great. We are live right now, guys, by the way. There we go. There's Roxy.
Yeah. You guys got scared and thought Thanos snapped his fingers and we were all gone.
Darina,
you know?
And I took a quick trip to the roller coaster park.
Oh, yeah. It was really fun.
That's what everybody calls it, right?
I'm happy to report that Roxy does scream, in fact, like Pee-wee Herman.
So. Oh, man. Guys, it's been a fun show, man. I love Maude.
I love Maude, too. I know we promised you guys that Adam Carolla and Nate Adams would be with us when we came back. They're going to be talking about their upcoming documentary, Shelby American. But they, because this place is confusing as all get out, are on their way, in transit, commute.
You stretching there, lady?
I don't know what if you guys could see right now what I'm doing.
What's going on here? She's like half her butt is sitting in a chair.
I don't know. I'm telling you, my brain is no longer attached to myself.
That
we know of.
Makes sense. Oh. Like completely.
Like I'm doing. I wish you guys could see the stance that I'm taking. I don't know why. Like, if you hadn't just said that, Darina, I wouldn't have even known that I was doing it.
Well, I mean, I'm not criticizing. I mean, it looks kind of comfortable. Maybe I should start stretching.
So. Yeah, I am. I'm doing a little stretch thing. Oh. I hear the door.
I hear people coming in.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Adam and Nate. That's you guys right over there.
You guys are over there.
Thank you guys so much for joining us.
Sure.
Just because you're being thrown into this. I'm Roxy. This is Darina. You guys met Mark. We are live on air right now.
Thanks.
We're great to go. Yeah.
Glad amazing. You found this studio.
Sorry about the parking. Yeah, it kind of sucks.
It's all right.
It's a disaster of a
Adam's
situation.
About to tell a story about how terrible I am with giving directions.
Why? Well, let's start there.
You have something in common.
Me, both, why and how. He's just awful with it?
Nate was outside working as a spotter, and I was going one way, and I wasn't sure, and he kept saying, the alley. But there's this other alley that runs the other side, and he kept saying, the alley. And then I kept saying, do you see the islands? There's an islands restaurant. Do you see it? And he goes, no.
And I thought it was a block down the street.
And he's standing outside in front of the islands or across the street. And I go, you don't see an islands? And he goes, I said no. And I said, you don't see an islands? There's an islands restaurant. Where's the islands? And then eventually he saw the island.
Oh, yeah. It's right there. It's my bad.
They use super muted tones or tones in their sign.
They
a
do.
Lot of beige and sand color. So it's hard to
they
spot.
Got a lot of palm trees around the restaurant.
I need to get some LED lighting. I get it.
I can't even make fun of you because same. Every day of my life, same. Yeah. I have no idea where I am at any time. I don't know because I grew up with the GPS, but I cannot. If you said to me islands with the bright colors, it's like I'm on Mars.
Well, let's make a distinction here because Jimmy Kimmel has a horrible sense of direction.
Ooh.
So I'm in good company.
Right. But
Here comes.
And Nate, it may not be a directional thing. It may be more of an emotional thing. You know what I mean? But Jimmy just has bad direction. For Nate, this is a life.
Direction's pretty good.
This is an actual all-encumbering life sort of encumbering life. Way direction.
I think you just nailed it.
I could
really nailed it.
It could be a little scrambled in general. You know, not just the radar, but the entire world.
But that's kind of interesting because you're the producing partner. So is it always like that, or is this the constant dynamic?
Just when Adam puts me under an incredible amount of
Nate
pressure.
Just never understands what anyone's saying to him. Other than that,
I usually tell everyone
great
what to
work
do.
With.
So I don't, you know.
How did you guys start working together? Was it on Shelby American, or was it?
Oh no, we've done quite a few projects on Road Hard, Adam's first feature film.
Oh, okay.
Second, actually.
Well, yeah, second. Well, the first one I produced.
We worked on together.
His
right.
second one, he also did another one called The Hammer, which is
right.
great.
Is that how you guys met, the first movie you made together?
Mm-hmm.
How did you meet? Like, how did this relationship
happen?
We
had a mutual friend named Kelly, and he was like, you got to put this guy together with you. He's like, this guy's good. You know, it's like a set up on a date.
And I've been confusing him ever since.
No, I know you're confused. That's why I keep asking. That's why most people, if you say, can you see an islands restaurant, they say no, you move on. But Nate, I kept yelling, you can see the islands.
Which they do have an excellent happy hour, just saying.
It's actual PTSD I'm having right now. I feel exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
But you just mentioned all of the movies you've done. You thought it was his first, really it was his second.
Yeah, we did that. We did a documentary called Winning the Racing Life of Paul Newman. Adam owns and races a bunch of Paul Newman's race cars. So we did a whole documentary on Paul. We did one called The 24
I've seen
Hour
it.
War.
It's excellent.
Which they
You're
based
welcome.
The Ford versus Ferrari movie on.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Then we did one on the first black driver to race and qualify in the Indy 500. That's going to come out in January 7th. That's a great documentary. We can't wait to release that. And then we have Shelby American that we've released now.
I think it's kind of wild that I don't remember which of your films it was, but I've been following you for a long time. You crowdfund so many of these. You ask for, I don't know, a smaller amount of money, and you make like 10 times more than the amount that you asked for because your fans are just that obsessed with the work that you do and they want to see. Is there some kind of trick to that where you make it so that they want to support it, or it's just being your own self?
Well, I think we've crowdfunded a couple of movies, but many others we haven't. Just for clarity.
Yeah, most of the documentaries Adam pays for out of his own pocket.
Yeah.
Just because you're so passionate about
the stories.
I don't know. I don't have much of a, you know, business model or sense. We just pick a story and I go, let's get going on that story. And I don't want to go through the part. You know, so many stories take so long to tell in Hollywood. It's like, oh, this thing's been on my shelf for 8 years, which we had some funding. It fell through. We found another backer. That fell apart. And it's like, meanwhile, we're not telling the story.
Right.
And so my thing is like, just go start telling the story and I'll figure out a way to underwrite it. And then we'll blink our eyes and 2 years or 18 months will go by and we'll have the story. And then once we have it, we'll figure out a way to make ourselves whole. Nate will sell it to an airline. He'll sell it internationally. We'll sell it to Netflix. We'll sell some Blu-rays. We'll figure out a way to get back to whole again. But let's get going.
Now, why did you guys want to specifically make the story of Carol Shelby? Like, what have you always been a fan? Like, how did this come about?
I've always been a fan as a car guy, although not really an American muscle guy, but in Shelby and Cobras and Mustangs. And I had a kind of relationship with him, not personally, but I knew the cars. I knew Le Mans. I knew the GT40s. I knew the Daytonas, Cobra Daytonas. And I knew all that stuff a long time ago. I thought Shelby was a little been there, done that in the car department. It, like, everyone knew who he was. Everyone was familiar. All the car guys knew who he was. And so we liked the idea of doing a Newman story or Willie T. Ribbs' first black driver story. Like, we liked the deeper cuts, mm-hmm. I guess, you know. And so when we went about to do the 24-hour war, which is Ford versus Ferrari, that story at Le Mans, we started getting lots of material on Shelby because he was such a big part of that story. And then as we usually do, we started going down this road where we started collecting a lot of material on this other subject as we were working on this other story. And so it became pretty apparent that not only was it a great story, but just for practical matters, we had so much material on this guy that should be our next doc.
How long did this take you to get to from inception of this idea and then it deviates to Carol? Like, how long did it from release to now?
Well, we started the 24-hour war. I don't know. I'm going to have to get a timeline with all this
2015,
stuff.
2015, we did released it, I think, in 2016.
Yeah, it was about a year or so for that. And then, of course, we're collecting the Shelby material. And it usually takes about 18 months, okay. I guess. I'm not sure because we're starting ones as we're finishing others. So I don't know that there's a hard start date on a lot of this.
This happens to us a lot. Like in our Paul Newman documentary, we met a gentleman named Willie T. Ribbs, who's the first black driver to race and qualify in the Indy 500. And after we saw all the material on Willie, both Adam and I were like, why has nobody made a doc on this guy? And it turns out he's tried to have it made a bunch of times, like Adam said, tried and failed. And Adam was like, I'm just going to do this.
Why was he failing?
People wouldn't put up the money. People wouldn't do it, you know. And Adam just pulled the trigger and said, we're going to do this right now. And we did it.
I think it's kind of amazing that you guys have decided to make your own way around the system so that you don't have to wait these 10 years or 8 years.
But we've been very fortunate with, you know, Amazon and Netflix and the people who've been purchasing our you know, what we're making, because, you know, and what we're making is very, you know, very good product in the space.
Couldn't agree more. A Shelby American, we all loved it.
Such an excellent
job you guys did on this. You're welcome. And I think that something that's also kind of wild is how the universe seems to put out content, like when Darkest Hour came out the same year as Dunkirk. And it's like, wow, it's been so many decades since this happened. Why did these two movies come out the same year? This coming out with Ford v. Ferrari coming out as well.
We knew that.
But is that helpful or is that hurtful? Is that helpful because it creates more buzz for you guys?
Extremely helpful.
Really?
Yeah. Have you guys seen the movie?
Oh, oh yeah, yeah, twice. Yeah,
so you loved it.
Saw it
they screened
the
it at Fox.
It's the theater nice. Next to Islands, right over there.
Yeah, yeah. I can't find that right either. Right
so
away.
How did you find the theater then?
Yeah, no chance I could find.
You make a
We saw the screening initially at Fox several months ago, and then I took my son to go watch it again over there in like the IMAX format. Mm. It was very enjoyable. They did a great job. Glad that there's buzz and maybe even some Oscar buzz for it. And, yeah, it just helps for us with Matt Damon playing Carroll Shelby, obviously, yeah. And then us coming out with the Carroll Shelby movie just makes mm-hmm. people interested in the sort of real behind-the-scenes story.
Yeah, because you want to know who Matt – you know, the Carroll Shelby was so much more. Like, they touched on a little bit of what a racer he was, but you don't realize he's one of the most prolific racers in the history of American racing. Mm-hmm. This guy won almost half the races he ever entered. There's almost no racer. You can't even touch that.
So is he like the Michael Phelps of racing, basically?
He of car racing in his time, he was extraordinary. Okay. And he was doing it in the 50s and he stopped in 1960. And back then it was like it's a miracle he didn't die. Most of those guys died.
So I know absolutely nothing about cars and nothing about racing. So this documentary shocked me in a million ways. But especially when we get some of the stats about how many people are dying doing this. From the producer and the car guy, all the things that you guys are that I don't understand, why do people do this? If 25% of the racers are dying, if there's such a high risk at this, why? Why are people doing this?
Well, I don't know. I mean, as a society –
Adam actually races a lot, so he's a very good person to answer this question.
I want to get it.
Well, I'm trying to think, like, maybe – when our society was a more religious society, people were more able to charge the beaches at Normandy or get in a car that they could die in a ball of flames when they were 22 or 23. I mean, I'm an atheist, but I know atheists can be pussies. You know, I think
I am one.
Yeah,
and I agree.
I am too. We don't believe in God.
It's
so.
Going to be hard to get an atheist to get out of that Higgins ship and go take on that Nazi pillbox on top of that beach, man. That's going to be tough. And maybe it's going to be tough to get an atheist in one of those cars from the 50s or 60s. I think there has to be a kind of a faith. I don't know if it's religious zealotry, and I've never even explored this, but as I think about it, you have to have a faith that it's not going to be you. Like, you're going to come back. Like, you're going to see guys burned alive, but that's not going to be you. And you have to have that same faith when you hit the beach at Normandy. Like, it's not going to be you. And as an atheist, I think the thought is, oh, crap, I know it's going to be me. All right?
Yeah, for sure.
So maybe the fact that people in this society and in general. I mean, look, if you want to go to the fullest extremist, then you just go terrorist explosive vest. I mean, that's the most zealot religion ever. And you go, I'm 17. I'll blow myself up at a pizza parlor. You know, what do I care? I have God on my side. Okay, right. So it would make you more likely, I think, to do things. I think that was part of it. I think there's also – it's probably – confluence of things. There was like a chivalry or a nobility to like staring death in the face and doing it, because most of the guys you race were – see, the thing that's interesting is if you take a look at the populace who fights, boxers, let's say, used to be Jews and Irish and Italian, and now it's black and Hispanic. It's the people from the wrong side of the tracks who grow up in the tough neighborhoods who have to fight – their way out. So Jews used to do a lot of prize fighting. Jews no longer prize fight because they don't want to get punched in the face.
We're too weak for that now.
They've educated themselves. Okay, so it's like the group that is usually doing the worst is doing the scariest, is doing the scariest stuff. Coal mining or boxing or whatever, whoever's, disenfranchised, whatever your color is. These guys are rich. Most of these drivers were rich guys.
Yeah. That's the craziest thing to me.
Yeah, like I think
they're thrillists, and if you look in the like DVD Blu-ray extras of the 24 Hour War, there's a whole huge section on danger. Mm. I interviewed a guy named Brian Redman who'd been burned in 5 fires.
Oof.
And I asked him, I was like, Brian, because I thought after the first time I would be done.
What was his occupation? He's a
race car driver.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's a very famous driver.
And he's
still alive today.
He's still racing?
He got burned 5 different times. But one of the times he told me he was trapped in a car at Spa. He'd rolled over And the back then they didn't have bladders in gas tanks, so the gas would just break open and spill. So he was pinned in the car, but the gas tank had broken open, and he was up to almost his chin in gasoline.
Oh,
and the official leaned in the car with a cigarette in his mouth, and he said, "Are you okay?" And he was like, "Get out, get out." But he, you know, if you look in the 24-hour war, there's a guy getting put in an ambulance after being burned. That's Brian Redman. But he said he just kept doing it. I said, "Why would you go back to racing?" And he said, "What else am I going to do?
Right.
This is all I know how to do."
Such a hard thing for me to comprehend. But the other strange thing for me about it is I would think if the reason is religion, there's just as many atheist women as there are men. Why is this such a male-dominated profession?
Well, I think its origins, like a lot of sports, are just dudes doing it, you know. So it just takes a while for women to come around to being involved with the sport. Like any sport, I mean, you know, football or basketball or whatever, it sort of evolves.
But there's a physicality to a lot of those that race car driving, I would assume, doesn't have.
No. I mean, a woman could definitely do race car driving. And there
are some good women drivers.
Danica Patrick, I've heard of her.
I'm friends with a woman named Lynn St. James, who is a great driver.
Mm. Yeah. And they Janet Guthrie.
Yeah.
They've been there. Like, there was a lot of women pilots, like, in the 20s and 30s, like barnstormers and all that kind of stuff. There was tons of women pilots. And then I don't know what happened around the 30s that there wasn't. So many, you know, Amelia Earhart, obviously, famously, but there was lots of female pilots. Because why wouldn't there be? They're lighter, you know. They're lighter in a race car. Hey, weight's a big deal in a race car too. Like, if you got a guy who's 50 pounds heavier than you in that car, that's a big disadvantage to the guy. So, I'm the thing about racing is it's very much passed down. It's not a sport like the NFL. Or NBA. It's a sport where it's like the dad raced, the dad took the kid go-karting, the dad took the kid to the track, and then it just gets all kind of bequeathed. And I guess they don't have a tradition where the mom takes the daughter racing or to the go-kart track. You don't get to enter racing when you're 25. You got to start go-karting when you're 7. You know?
There's also an unbelievably high financial barrier to entry in racing. You only can get very – you can't get very far if you have no money.
Well, you talk about that father-son or parent thing where they – I saw it in the doc too. A lot of the people in the doc were the kid or the grandkid of a racer, and they all seem to be doing the same thing. What I think is interesting in your case, Adam, is that you grew up not very close with your parents. You were a poor kid, and now you are I've been to your facility with all of the cars. It's kind of insane. That didn't run in your family, though. Where does that come from?
I have a kind of mechanical gene, you know, that I just want to put things together and build projects. And it's a car thing, but I like building architecture. So it's more of a mechanical aesthetic. I love race cars. I love the way they work. There's an efficiency to them that I'm very much into. That I think ultimately I like efficiency, and I don't like waste. Mm-hmm. And so if we all left this studio and the lights were on, I'd circle back and shut the lights, and then I'd leave and go to my studio.
I
just shut the lights.
Well, that happens a lot, so we need to hire you for that. Yeah.
We need help with that here.
If I do a show and I'm at a theater and I'm like in the green room or the dressing room, like some of these old theaters, and they have all these lights and these mirrors and stuff, like for the dancing girls and stuff, I've shut everything before I go out on stage. Like, I'm not going to have this room all lit up while I'm gone. So I don't like waste. It has nothing to do with money or my money or your money or their money. It's just I don't like waste. And race cars are kind of the ultimate efficiency. You know, they take the alternator and instead of putting it in the front of the car and running it off the crank, they put it in the back of the car and it like runs off the drive shaft because they're trying to get some weight. Even if it's a little bit of weight to the back of the car. And then they don't put it on the driver's side. They put it on the passenger side because they want to get some of that weight shifted to that side. And they want to move it back. And there's a kind of a simplicity, but a sort of diabolical simplicity to being super efficient. One of my cars, older race cars, has a switch on the dash, and it says alternator on it. And I said, well, what's that switch do? And the guy built the car. He said, well, that shuts the alternator. And I said, but how does it shut the alternator? Because the alternator has a belt, and it's running off a belt. It's like a generator that runs off a belt. And he said, no, that switch doesn't disconnect the belt like it couldn't. What that switch does is it shuts the alternator, so it's not creating the magnetic pull anymore that's putting tension on the belt. And it's like, but when do you hit it? Because you need the alternator to keep the battery charged. He said, with about a lap or two left, the car will run off the battery alone. It doesn't need to be recharged. So you could hit the switch. And I said, well, what's that good for?
Yeah,
like horsepower. He's like, I don't know, a quarter of a horsepower or something, like not one horsepower. And I was like, well, what's that difference that makes? Like, hey, something makes a difference. it's something that the other guy's not doing.
Right.
Like that's what it is. Now, I haven't hit that switch because I'm not, you know, that's a vintage race. But that's how race cars work. That's how the minds of the guys who create the race cars work. And I appreciate that. The kind of thinking.
You drive all your cars?
Yeah. All the ones I'll just say yes. They're ones that I haven't for various reasons, but I do.
Is part of that like because you can and you've worked your butt off, so you're in a position where you have all these cars, you can afford that, you can drive them, and so you do it because simply you can?
Well, it's kind of a two-parter. One, it's because I can, and then two, you know, and invariably people will walk around my shop or take a look around and they'll always, I think, naturally point at a car and go, have you driven that one? And I feel bad when I go, no, I haven't driven it, because now I just feel like some rich guy's collecting cars and looking at them, you know. So if you collect street cars, you can drive street cars. They're easy to drive. You can just get them and go. But also nobody really cares if you drive it or not, because everyone drives.
Right.
I drove here. Nate drove here. We all drive, so it's not that cool. But when they see the race cars, they always want to know, did you drive that one? Did you drive that one? Have you driven that one? And I hate saying no. So I try to.
I have to say no when they ask me.
But I say yes most of the time.
Do you not race at all, Nate? Or
no.
Never have?
No. I don't have the means that Adam has.
Well, because we were talking about religion, I guess, earlier. It might be a reason as to why people got into it. But
I've interviewed all those. I think they're kind of thrill seekers in a way.
Yeah.
Well, that's what's
and they need, you know, it's part of what's, you know, like certain people are wired to box or fight, and certain people aren't.
Yeah.
And these guys are wired to do that.
I don't think the religion got them into it. I just mean it
makes them feel
kept
safer.
Kept them in it.
Yeah. Well, have you guys, you guys familiar with Alex Honnold, the guy that climbed Yosemite, but with nothing, no cables? So,
sure.
Like, they studied his brain, right? And it was different as to how he captured fear compared to us. Like, do you think that that's something that maybe, like, do you think you have that added because you don't care about race?
They've talked about, like, you guys were talking about the female-male thing. The thing about, so for race car drivers, like the guys who race and win and are extremely successful, it's all about braking at the last possible second.
Uh-huh.
So, and it's very dangerous. The longer you wait to brake, the more dangerous it is. And like women are a little less prone to danger than men. That's one of the things that were
smarter
talked about.
Smarter is the other word.
Yeah.
Just less
well,
dumb.
I mean, you know, there's a great scene in Ford versus Ferrari where the Matt Damon as Carroll Shelby takes Henry Ford II for a ride in the GT40.
That's a great
scene,
yeah.
There's a guy named Bob Bondurant who they talk about in the film who is 82 years old, and he won Le Mans, the Shelby Cobra Daytona Coupe. And Bob Bondurant has a GT40, that replica that has an original motor in it. And he said, you want me to take you for a ride in it? It's called Hot Lap. So pretty much he took me for a ride in that car, and I was the guy. I was like Henry Ford. I was almost crying when we were done because you do not – and he's 82 years old, and I thought, oh, what's this guy going to do?
He was great in the dock.
He terrified me. I mean, I was just terrified when we were done. He's like, you want me to keep going? I was like, no.
You mentioned Ford v Ferrari again, and I'm curious because you guys are so in this world. Does it make it hard to watch the movie if they get something wrong or they do that Hollywood embellish thing?
No. It's art. You know, that can take a little dramatic license, artistic license. I'm not going to cherry pick things. I want to enjoy myself, too. You know, just go to the ball game, have the hot dog. You don't have to know what's in it.
But you already do know what's in it.
I agree with Adam.
I do know what's in it. And so do you, though. I mean, you know what's in a hot dog. But it's like you still want to eat that hot dog and just enjoy that hot dog and have a beer. And that's what I do when I go into the movie theater.
So you're not going to boycott any car racing movies?
they mixed up a lot of stories. You know, the Shelby Cobra Daytona Coupe was made in 90 days.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was the timeline. They, you know, all of a sudden they're talking about the GT40 in 90 days. You know, that car was over the course of years that was developed.
GT40.
Yeah, the GT40. So that stuff, you know, I'm with Adam where I just went in and enjoyed it and I loved what the actors did with the characters. I don't know that Ken Miles' Home Life was what they made Ken Miles' Home Life to be, but they made a story out of it and it made a compelling film. And I really enjoyed it. They shot the racing extremely well. You know, I enjoyed everything about the movie.
Honestly, I still haven't seen it yet. I saw your guys first, so I'm hoping that will
you'll
even enhance
know a lot.
Experience.
You'll recognize the names because it's funny. Like a lot of the names were, you know, Charlie Agapu, who's a big part of our 24-hour war documentary. You kind of see him a ton in the movie, but you never, you know, you hear him call him Charlie, and he throws firecrackers out the window at these girls. But you don't really understand what he did until you see our doc, and then you'll get his whole story of how he's kind of like a son to Ken Miles. And
it was interesting. That's exactly where I went. It's a perfect complement to the movie because I saw the movie, dramatic, whatever you want to call it. It was wonderful. It was one of my favorite movies. And then this, I get everything. I get all the details. Were you very conscious of that, knowing that that movie's coming? It's like we're going to give everybody everything we can in this documentary.
No.
Just how
well,
it plays.
We had no idea what they were going to do.
We did the 24-hour war before this movie. And I think we started Shelby before we knew about this movie. So we didn't really have an idea of what they were doing when we were doing it. Our plan was to be thorough, you know, and see if we could keep it under 2 hours and deliver all the info we could. And you know, you have to figure out how much time you'd like to allot for Carroll Shelby's personal life, his health. You know, it's a very interesting health issues. His racing career versus his manufacturing career, team owner career. You know, there's so many different facets to his pretty lengthy. I think he died at 89. I mean, a really long life.
Yeah.
And he lived a lot of different lives as a chicken farmer, as an international race car driver, as a manufacturer, modifier, builder, team owner, you know, all that with so many different things. And then there was, you know, married 7 times and kids and heart transplant and, you know, so much in his world that you have to kind of figure out how much time do you want to spend on each one of these subjects. So that's kind of the balance.
The marriage one, and I don't know if this is addressed in Ford v. Ferrari, but you guys talked about how – like
they don't even know how many times he was married.
What does that mean?
Because sometimes he would have his – like there's a funny story in the Shelby talk where he had a photographer who was with him most of his career, very famous photographer at this point, Friedman. And there was a time where Carol said, well, I didn't marry that woman. And he said, I was there, Carol. I took the pictures. Like he had wedding photos and Carol did. And sometimes I guess Carol would have his friends pretend they were priests and then they would marry – he would marry this girl and then, you know.
That's crazy.
It wouldn't quite work out. So
do you guys have any upcoming projects, whether it's as partners or separately, that you can discuss or excited about?
Yeah, we have tons of stuff.
Let's hear it.
We're pretty much partners.
Well, we have – yeah, I don't do anything separate from – we're going to shoot another stand-up special of mine coming up in a few days.
Yeah.
We have K-Rock, the movie, the documentary K-Rock radio station we're working on. We have memes, right? The Meme Gods one.
We're doing Cedric the Entertainer.
Ooh. Oh, we're not doing Cedric
the
Entertainer.
He's one of the executive producers.
On only if you're lucky.
On the meme ones, we have a Mad Magazine.
Oh, my God. That one.
Mad Magazine. What else?
We're Uppity.
So
Uppity comes out January 7th. I feel like that is the best. It's just such a powerful story.
It's probably our best. What is Uppity?
It's about the first black driver to
race and qualify in the Indy
500. Yeah. We met him during our Paul Newman documentary because Paul Newman was the one – he was the catalyst for actually him becoming a professional race car driver because no one would hire him because he was black.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, your guys' content is everywhere right now, so they can wait for those or they can go watch Shelby American. It's available now on your guys' website, chassis.com. Is that correct?
Yeah,
it's
chassy.com. Right now, The 24-Hour War and Shelby American are both on Netflix also. Mm-hmm. But if you want my personal – I'd say get the Blu-rays if you want to get the behind-the-scenes stuff and all the extra stuff, and the Blu-rays look better and sound better.
Okay. I'll take that advice then. Adam, Nate, thank you guys so much for coming in and joining us today. Really appreciate it. Mark Riley, Darina, Cody, Alex, Roxy Stryer. We'll see you guys tomorrow morning for Collider Live.